You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the reverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network, so please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. That is how you move up the charts. Like us on Facebook. That's how you share with your friends. And support us through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com. A little acid reflux from all those healthy organic greens I was having before we started.
You know that Super Male Vitality actually has acidity in it, so that could be what it is.
Oh, see, I need to drink my alkaline water.
You're drinking it like Starbucks nowadays.
We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. That voice you heard was Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Pretty good. Before we jump into it, let's introduce our other guest host, Tad. Tad Western's back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris Spangle. Host Lenz.
Host of the wildly popular Tad Talks.
Oh, it blew up. Tad Talks is, I mean, we're going to the moon, boys.
I announced last night a large obelisk when you go to the moon.
No, that's the moon of Mars. If anyone wants to know, Venus, I think, is what the moon of Mars is called.
You know what the Chinese
he's calling
the moon
planets moons of Mars now.
Another one of the moons of Mars. Listen, I was just going to let him go.
My mind was blown after listening to Alex Jones on the Joe Rogan Experience last
turns
night.
Turns out, which the we sun, will get to us operating in the sun isn't even true. We all operate around Mars.
Anyway,
get fully woke,
Uncle Tad's back on the wagon or off the wagon.
Off the wagon.
He's got a koozie on.
What? And so
he's wearing a koozie.
Can we get more
time? Also, here's Chris Mayo. Chris, how are you?
I can't follow that. Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Although the last time Mayo was on, we were talking about how one of his coworkers eats dried dog turds and he thought it was a fire Cheeto.
Yeah, we do. I wasn't kidding, man.
So, I mean, that's a high bar.
So, Tad has Tad Talks. You can find it on SoundCloud. Our SoundCloud has reposted it. But
and Facebook,
you can find it on his Facebook.
I'm banned from Apple, so everybody who wants to get me in there, apparently. My rap group's pretty much banned all over the world. And
I offered to help him and bring this under the We Are Libertarians umbrella, but Tad does what he wants.
Tad's a walking
brand. Tad's a maverick.
Like Jay-Z, he's a businessman.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
By the way,
twins, babies.
Beyonce, if your sister, let's say your sister, Greg, did a birth announcement, and she did the photos that Beyonce did.
I'd disavow her like I was a Muslim man.
Right. Let's say your wife, Chris.
Okay, go ahead.
Said, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to announce our twins by posing nude in front of a funeral wreath.
So here's the thing. My wife's a pretty strong woman.
Very.
I, I'm not the alpha male though. I couldn't stop her.
But I'm just saying,
I wouldn't like it, but it would happen.
if my sister proposed that, I would call DCS and unfriend her on Facebook. Like, and then you go on the clickbait sites. It's like stop the presses. The stunning photos of Beyonce.
If Sarah Palin did that, it'd be mass outrage, and she's a whore.
If she tried to tag me in the picture, I mean, I wouldn't approve it.
Exactly.
Remove tag.
Somebody needs to tell Beyonce that just because you're famous and rich, it doesn't mean that you're beyond the bounds of being weird and creepy.
Well, a couple girls we went to high school with started that trend there for a while. The thing is that if you look at the correlation, it was girls who were dangerously close to having to drop out to have children.
Right.
So it was very young. And so that's one of those things where if you do it, there are connotations that come with it.
It's a great life plan, though.
So
you're probably going to wear juicy sweatpants. And you know, drink Dunkin' Donuts frappes all day.
But I'm just saying, I am looking for someone to help. I'm losing weight. I'm down 10 pounds. My therapist, when I saw her, I hadn't seen her since November, and she goes, "Have you lost 50 pounds? How fat was I?"
Pretty fat.
You son of a bitch!
No, he was over here championing your cause.
What did you say the other day?
I said you were hefty, and now you're plump.
Uh huh.
And you're big boned. So
and.
What did I say? Oh, yeah. I said this was the joke.
Which is so true because this happened in my class.
But it was perfect. And it said,
I would have voted for
you.
If
you were
a
high school girl, everybody, all the popular kids would vote for you as prom queen as a goof.
That's exactly what happened at my senior prom.
What a nice guy.
I was so fat.
You know you didn't do that.
And so, yes, I'm down 10 pounds, but I still have, you know, 190 to go, and so...
It's the Superman Vitality.
It is.
It's a metabolism burner.
I will get to that in a moment.
You don't tell the listeners, though, you are 6'7".
I am, that's true. And so I want to recreate that as my before photo while I still have my belly.
That'll be epic.
So, yeah.
Just pound a bunch of Chinese and drink nothing but Mountain Dew for like a day.
Yeah.
Wake up the next morning and take the picture.
Oh, God. I could easily get
and
it
then
back
you
so
could
quick.
Have like hashtag quadruplets.
Actually, good friend of the podcast, Chris Bowers, did a before photo where he had quite a protruding belly, and so I recreated that photo and posted it on
Facebook.
That was
pretty good. I saw that.
He's going to be coming on here soon, isn't he?
He is. We're going to go back and do We Are Libertarians Live soon, so be looking for that. We'll tell you about that coming soon.
No surprise announcements for openers, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Next time we'll coordinate those.
Man, let me tell you what. Miranda Barnett, a star is born.
She is.
It's like if a pretty girl comes on a podcast, on a libertarian podcast, and takes her shirt off, everybody goes crazy and loves it.
Her Facebook requests, I guarantee you, were every bit of 3 to 2.
Yeah, I can't believe
it was.
How'd you guys make me follow that? I can't.
Get them out.
Yeah,
I'm pissed she got a photo
quit
shoot.
Being sexist and get them
out. I got
out.
A nice ass.
No, we didn't do a photo shoot.
She did.
Miranda's so crazy that she stood up, took her jacket off, and climbed on my counter and put oatmeal all over her boobs.
Yeah, you guys waited to do that when I went to pee. I appreciate that.
She just...
Let's put pee in quotation marks. Pee.
2.5 minutes later.
I was embarrassing masturbating while Mittens judged me. I didn't know Mittens was locked in there.
Well, that
Craig,
sounds...
you struggling with your belt in there? What's that?
Well, that
be
sounds...
quiet!
Sounds like my evening every night at 9. So
it's a lot of pressure.
We just had such an exciting guest, polarizing. You know, what's funny is that Miranda... We posted the photos, and then it was a day or two before I could get the episode up, and the judgments of the photos from every female in my life was, ladies, you have a lot of work to do. It was, explain who this is.
Why is she on? Why is she relevant?
Listen, we haven't been friends since high school. I don't need to explain to you who this is.
Throwing shade via the internet.
This is Trump's world, hun.
Right.
Assume the position.
If a woman wants to come into my apartment and take her clothes off, I'm not going to tell her to stop.
I'm a feminist.
Right. Exactly right.
She's not violating your nap.
Right. But then the response was just, it was overwhelmingly positive. We did get one email.
Only libertarians are anxiously awaiting the audio after we put out the pictures.
Yes.
They are like, oh, God, we need... Oh,
they were like, oh, she's hot, but does she have a personality?
I need to
Spangle, you've been photoshopped as Beyonce.
Let me see.
By Rodney.
Just now.
Okay, that is excellent. I do look like Spangleonce.
I'll be honest, though. He was classy. That's the most viewable photo.
Right.
It's a one-piece tasteful swimsuit.
I listen.
Is it the single ladies?
Miranda, everyone wanted to make sure, wanted to check her philosophy. They wanted to make sure she was pure.
That's right. All they cared about.
Yeah. They didn't care about
Quit distracting me with those breasts.
Yeah, I heard about the wall.
My favorite.
Can't believe you didn't kick off the show.
You're not going to fool me with those.
That's how you know Spangle's being manipulated. She talked about she could justify the wall, and he was like, let's just talk about that another time.
Yeah. I didn't want to get off on something else. I just wanted to move on.
Yeah, your pants?
But if you check out the Instagram, you can see what we're talking about. Check out one of my favorite Photoshops was a photo of Miranda and her two boobs.
By Sean Marshall, one of our new listeners from the Jeff Vibbert carryover.
Good. Yeah, and so go check that out. It'll be a surprise.
His grandma died, so I'm going to give him a shout out and say, I hope you're doing all right, buddy.
I'm just kidding.
You might want to edit that out. Well. You heartless bastard.
If he's a Jeff Vibbert listener.
Want to send flowers?
If he's a Jeff Vibbert listener, he gets it.
Listening to Jeff Vibbert podcasts like dying every day.
Well,
no, it's not that. I think it was the grandma. Yeah.
Well, one time I was, Jeff, when he was out for his grandma's funeral, I said, hey, chick, where's Jeff at? Oh, his grandma died. He's out. Is that all? And we riffed a couple of dead grandma jokes. Well, new fresh intern Caitlin Kopetsky
triggered
was in the other room, and she wasn't as grizzled and hardened as she was after being in a chat with the three of us.
Fresh college graduate, outraged by everything,
right? Oh, no. And so she's like,
ready for a protest.
Listen, Jeff, I don't know how to break this to you, but I have to tell you,
gosh.
I heard some very offensive things about did Spangle not like you because he was saying things about your dead grandmother that was not nice.
And she has a lisp.
Yes. And so that's how every liberal female sounds in my head, or male. And
I thought they were gruff and
Don't be assuming genders.
I listen to Alex Jones and wonder if he's a lesbian. So
you just broke a scandal.
He's Bill.
You heard it here first.
He's not Bill Hicks. He's a woman.
Jill Hicks.
Yeah. He's Jill Hicks. And so, so that's been a running gag. And so Jeff, like the next time I was on the podcast, they called me out for it, and I made a couple other jokes. I think it was the Thanksgiving edition.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff's mom is the sweetest, kindest, nicest person on the planet, and she listened to the podcast and cried over me making fun of her dead mother.
You are a deplorable human. If you make his mother cry, she loves everyone.
I know.
Yeah,
and except you.
I know. No, she loves me still.
She's a sweetheart.
She's just too nice of a person to tell you she hates you.
I apologized on the next appearance, but... you know, so now anytime anybody's grandmother dies at the show, it's another fresh round of hell for me. Even though I did nothing in hindsight but make very innocent jokes, that Caitlin Kopetsky is a drama queen.
You gotta
queen.
Watch her.
She's a drama queen.
She's a walking trigger warning.
Reel it in, little girl. If you don't know who we're talking about, check out the Jeff Vibbert podcast. It's in the feed in the back, or you can go download it.
And my favorite, Blonde on Brunette, because all they do is make drinks.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Speaking of drinks, what are you wearing on your hand?
It's called a glove.
Okay.
These things we invented a long time ago because it's cold out, and it keeps your hands warm.
Uh-huh.
But on the other side of this glove...
Uh-huh.
Oh. Is a sewn in koozie.
That is
so I can keep
alcoholic.
My hands warm and my beer cold.
How did you get that?
Well, I was at little Brett Bittner's going away party that himself threw himself.
Pause.
For a cruise.
Pause.
Wait, is that what that was?
It was jokingly referred to as a going away party. I was hoping he actually got a job somewhere else and is moving.
Is he gay and he's
physically
cruising?
Removed.
We are very happy for Brett Bittner. Okay.
Damn, he's down 172 pounds.
Right. Brett has lost 17% of his body weight, which is 172 pounds. And he
Confederate pounds.
Using the keto diet, he has managed to fight back type 2 diabetes, and he's a mountain of health. He's no me. He's no peak male performance.
If you
sorry.
Have a Facebook, you already know this.
Yes.
I didn't recognize him. I was pissing next to him. I was
don't
like, who is
him.
This guy?
Just
yeah, you'll see it.
And so Brett threw him, this is the most Bittner thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Brett threw himself a party to celebrate losing weight and going away. Now,
and it was a surprise.
It was
he
so
didn't tell people, wouldn't tell people what it was about.
This is what
know?
Got me.
Yeah.
It was so ambiguous.
He threw himself
I was like,
his own surprise party.
I thought
like it was a reveal party for a gender.
I thought he was like going to run for governor or some shit. I was like, what is this?
Wait.
He's like, don't tell anybody.
I thought it was
he didn't want to say the purpose.
I thought it was because he replaced me.
Bittner is the new chairman for the Marion County Libertarian Party of Indiana.
Of my party, I'm not happy about it. So let me get this straight.
Not my party.
I thought it was a weight loss party.
He wouldn't tell people, so he let you project onto it whatever you wanted to celebrate with Bittner. As long as it was a celebration of Bittner, it could be for whatever reason you needed.
Dad's completely... I'm dark on this because I was on the complete opposite end of the table and I hardly got to talk to anybody. They shunned me. I was down talking to Seth. I was talking to
Paul.
I
didn't even talk to Aaron Paul that Copeland. Much.
Paul. I was talking to Jesse and
who else was on the side with you? Lion Jarrah had his back to you.
Yeah, Lion Jarrah. He's still shitty about the fish. He's like, I'm not talking to you until I get my fish reparations.
You did kill two of his fish.
He killed an entire pond under his watch.
Explain how he killed two of his fish,
at
Greg.
The Weird Libertarians Christmas party at Jeremiah Morrill's home out in Newcastle, Henry County, really. It was about 4 a.m. Sarah Potter, his lovely girlfriend, at 3:30 goes, well, I'm going to bed. And then she gave Jeremiah a look, and that meant it was time for everybody else to go to bed. And so Tad and I sleep downstairs, and Jesse Riddle, of course, drives home. He thinks 1 hour is so...
After he played Beethoven's Fifth on the piano.
He's a drunken savant on piano.
Really?
Yeah, but...
He turned into Rain Man on the ivory.
10 minutes before, he couldn't put magnets back up on the fridge. He had gotten down on all fours to try and pick them up with his butt crack hanging out. Yeah, he goes over at the piano and goes Rain Man.
Yeah.
But so then it's about 4 o'clock, and the last I see Tad's got his phone out, and he's laying on the couch. You know, looking at his phone, he's on Bumble swiping on every girl that'll accept him. Then it's about 4:15. I'm getting drowsy, but all of a sudden I hear footsteps, and I'm like, oh, he's probably just going to the bathroom. And then I hear, and Jeremiah has an aquarium in his living room where Tad was sleeping. Next thing I hear after is, here, fishy, fishy, come give Tad smooches. And I start dying. I am crying because he's drunk. He doesn't know what's going on. Sure enough, within a month, two of his very expensive fish die. And these are big-ass fish. Like, these aren't goldfish he bought for 10 cents.
No, these are Asian fish that have lived like 10 years.
And they couldn't survive Tad Western's oppression trying to give me smooches. And I died.
I was just trying to spread love the Tad Western way. And they weren't having it. Anyway, Tim
when he's drunk, he's into fish.
Yeah, so into anything that swims.
So Tad Western. Shit poster in life.
So Brett Bittner has this party.
Yeah,
you're telling me that Brett has a party to celebrate Brett Bittner, and it's a going away party for Brett Bittner.
It could be. It could be whatever you wanted to put on it just to celebrate. It was a celebration of Bittner. You got to decide what you were celebrating.
It's very vague.
Did you bring gifts?
I, of course, did not go because I have a firm never Bittner pledge.
No, you planned on it. You told me after we podcasted with Miranda, and then you're like, it's been such a long day.
No, I had to cover for Vibbert that day, and I'd gotten up at 5, and the last thing I wanted to do was go hang out with a bunch of libertarians.
That's why Mayo wasn't there.
Right. I came home, I lit a fire, and I watched some documentaries. I watched a CrossFit documentary. I didn't know that Netflix had gay porn. So...
They vape while they do CrossFit. Right.
And so Bittner apparently, so he didn't, he said, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going away.
Yeah. No, he didn't imply, you could imply if it was a going away party, you could imply, because technically he was okay because he was going away.
There was a toast.
With his sister.
I just saw pictures. Let me.
Okay. So.
Who goes on a cruise with their sister?
So anyway, let's wrap this up and explain how Tad got the gloves.
Coming all the way back around.
Bittner had door prizes
for his own party. No.
It's funnier if we say that.
Yes.
No.
Regardless
of
it not being true.
Yes.
No, Bittner paid a guy to MC this, our table.
You're kidding
me. Wow, this is a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know what he paid him, but this guy...
Well, Bittner doesn't skimp on Bittner.
Yeah. I don't know who was paying
He had a DJ who brought door prizes.
Yeah, he had a DJ for the table, an MC, a host of the table.
A major domo.
Yeah.
God, that's funny.
So anyway, I won a trivia game, and...
it wasn't a door prize.
What was it?
No, I mean, I thought that like it was an open drawing for anyone that attended the celebration of Bittner.
Oh, no.
Oh, so you had to actually...
I had to name not only Antonio Davis, but Dale Davis. from the
Davis
Pacers.
Brothers.
The Davis Brothers.
You mean
yes.
from the most famous Pacers team
That's
of all
I
time?
That's what I said. I was
like, the ones that couldn't beat the Knicks.
Right.
I think Lakers.
One time.
Yeah, they couldn't beat anybody.
That was for Knicks, yeah.
Focus. You guys are worse than Alex Jones tonight.
No, we're not. No. If you ever call me Eddie Bravo, I won't.
What did you think was going to happen when you showed them Joe Rogan and Alex Jones?
I'm so hype right
now. Podcast.
Kind of upset he turned it off.
I walk in and they're all captivated, like it's a thing about Christ's bones being discovered.
Now
like,
Greg,
no, Alex Jones is talking about harp.
Greg has a new thing.
Greg's like, is it?
Greg has a new thing. He shows up to, he's so desperate to not see me naked, he shows up 20 minutes late for every podcast.
I always did that after, like, once you got divorced, because when you were married, it didn't matter. Like, you'd have clothes on and you were ready to go. But after you got divorced, like, it was very lax. It was like, if I get there, Spangle's probably, like, a lot of times you're getting dinner or something.
I'm always
so
eating.
I just gave you, I didn't want to storm in while you're eating dinner.
So while we were waiting, I turned on the Alex Jones, Eddie Bravo episode of Joe Rogan, episode 9/11.
Inside job episode.
Oh my God.
It is, honestly, I love that you guys listen to this podcast, but you should just pause it right here and go and listen to it because it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. It is, I've been listening to a lot of Rogan lately. I've never listened to it before, but a bunch of listeners always compare us to it, and I get the comparison, but it's a really good podcast, but this Alex Jones podcast is, it's something else, man. Tad stayed up till 2 a.m. last night studying the film.
I was replaying. Yeah,
as we were watching,
breaking
it,
down game film.
As we were watching X's
and O's.
It
of a podcast.
Right here is where he proves that it's the autism being caused by the vaccines.
Listen, literally,
look at how he sets it up.
Back me up, Mayo. This is exactly what was going on. Every time he'd go, look, watch this.
This is what he's getting ready to say.
This
watch.
Is gonna be hilarious.
Now he could have gone this way, but he chose.
Oh, it was like me watching Superbad for the second time. I was like, oh, this is a good part.
No,
it's fascinating though, like. America, when they experienced Alex Jones on Piers Morgan, was, oh my God, who is this separatist crazy man in Texas that sells vitamins? Now America likes it.
Because of memes.
That's the world we're in.
Because we know anytime he's anywhere that, like, and Rogan has, like, this major following. It's
it's a tribe.
It's one of the biggest radio shows in the world.
Aaron's a Rogan head.
Oh my God.
Or a Roganite.
Go float in a tank.
Aaron actually had a birthday cake. Of Joe Rogan.
No, he did not.
Yes, he
hand
did.
To God, he did.
Yeah.
The night he shit his pants.
On his 30th birthday?
Yes. Yeah. It was.
Becky still brings it up.
It was a
bring up the time frame because of some other things that were going on. But.
Poor Aaron. I told him he couldn't come tonight because he's got the norovirus, which was, you know, it started on the East Coast and it's been moving our way. And
like
it,
liberalism.
Well, it hit a month ago in Pennsylvania and our friend Mel got it.
The Amish.
Yeah.
They're guilty.
And so he got the norovirus, and I told him he couldn't come. He was very upset. He's still at the Stack Pickle crying.
Yeah. I saw
it's
him.
Just down, it's only two blocks away.
He said he's down to 99.7.
Oh, well, tell him he can't come.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think he was that sick. I thought it was just like a cold or something. But
no,
if it's the norovirus,
yeah.
You're going back to Mexico because that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he had lunch today. He wasn't sick enough to get out and go eat Mexican food.
And he loves Mexican food.
Oh, that's all he eats.
He sure does. I want to take a moment, and we got a bunch of emails, but I want to thank Amanda, I think it was Becker, off the top of my head. She wrote a very thoughtful note to me about the women's issue. Now, the reason we had Miranda...
I'm the one that quoted Feminine Mystique, and she writes a thoughtful note to you.
Well,
she definitely didn't write Tad.
She wrote it to editor. You probably should check your email, because she wrote
I saw the ones. Yeah, I thought you were forwarding the shit posts.
No. She
because they were the most ridiculous questions ever.
But it's long, and we just don't have time to get to it tonight, because we have so much to talk about, so I'm not going to read it. But if you go to our group... if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com and then there's a link for the Facebook group, you can join there and you can read her thoughts on how we misrepresented women, which, listen, I didn't expect that we would give you an accurate view of the women's movement, okay? I wasn't even going for that. I just think Miranda is an interesting person who has a different... I gave you one woman's opinion. And so I know that I was not trying to represent all women with Miranda, because according to my inbox, she does not represent all women. They don't want her as their representative, but, the other half of you love her and the other half of women do. So, So go check that out.
Shocking! A woman can't make up. They can't make up their minds about something.
Very nice, very mature of you. So go check that out. Nice, thoughtful discussion on women's issues in our group, and a lot of women commenting on it. It's not just men discussing women's issues.
Are they discussing like what dish soap to use and?
Tad, is this the kind of lowbrow content you get on Tad Talks?
I tell you what. No, you get even lower on Tad Talks. That was above the belt.
On Tad Talks, he strolls to the kitchen and says, oh, look at all these women.
With Tad,
it's like, ladies, you can quit doing the dishes. You've done it 5 times tonight.
Tad Western. Tad Western has like 100 listens on his Tad Talks. And I got to be honest.
100,000.
100,000, yes.
Yeah, you're missing the comma.
I thought, I listened to the first one. I haven't listened to the second two. Let me just say the first one, I belly laughed like 3 or 4 times. The intro, Tad, what's your one of your segments called?
What? I have all kinds
advice,
of
your advice segment.
Oh, Tad's tip. Yeah, that's
when
yeah.
you introduced Tad's tip, I lost it. It is
the ladies do too.
I don't know how to I don't want to say it's bad, okay? Because it's not bad. Like Rob Kendall and I are radio professionals.
Oh, it's horrible.
I am at the top of you know, this is a highly successful radio program. I work at the top of the radio industry, and by every considerable standard, Tad, you have recorded a piece of shit.
I set out
in terms
you
of
have
the
to
fundamentals.
Realize, Tad is none of these things that you are.
Now, listen. Let me explain. Let me finish. Can I finish?
Give me another backhanded compliment.
But there is something so charming about it and so engaging that Rob and I agreed we couldn't turn it off.
Well, I mean, I hate to brag about myself, but I am a hell of a personality, and Tad is an urban cowboy. Right. I didn't even know how to turn the microphone on. The first podcast took me 3.5 hours because I could not figure out how to push record.
15 minutes.
And how to stop it. And it was just me getting my thoughts out. It was pretty much an audio diary. The second podcast, I'd say it was at least one turd better.
Right.
Like if we're going to write this thing.
It was half a pile.
Yeah. And the one I did last night, it was probably in between the first two. The second one's my favorite so far because I prepared for it. I don't know, but it's the Tad. I'm not editing shit. I'm on the microphone. It's lit, and I'm just rolling with my thoughts. That's
all right. So here's what we've got ahead here. But please go check out Tad's talk or Tad Talk with Mr. Tad Western at SoundCloud. Just Google Tad Talk.
Oh, I've got a cruise coming up.
Yeah, the Tad Western cruise.
Yeah, all the listeners. I got a company who's doing all the planning it. Just depends. I need feedback though because I don't know if we're going for a rowboat or for like a giant actual cruise ship.
All right, so you need registrations for the cruise.
Yeah, just ahead, like an RSVP.
Is this
or something.
An Alaskan or a Caribbean? Yeah.
No, we're going. It's Tad's Tropical Trip, is what it's called. Okay. Is this a triple T?
Is this a Facebook event?
First annual. I am not in charge of the planning.
Oh, okay.
I hired a company. They're representing me.
You outsourced your own trip?
Listen, Tad's a very busy man.
Brett's scouting it out
yeah,
right
I was
now.
Say, he's going to tell everybody that it's. He's going to let you decide what it's
did
about.
Did you hire Brett Bittner to scout to play in this trip? Because it will be.
We may have worked some things out.
Featured speaker, Brett Bittner.
You know,
headlining Brett Bittner.
Yeah,
minimum 2-drink minimum for Brett Bittner.
Listen, the comedy stylings.
If you guys don't want to get a
Bittner,
if you don't want to get a tan and get shit faced with Tad, that's fine. Stay home in Indiana or wherever
Join
the hell you're from. Yeah, just don't be American.
Yeah.
Do you have? Is it like one of these Pat Robertson cruises where you go?
Oh yeah, we'll be hitting people over the head with Bibles and people will be getting saved.
All right.
All right.
Anyway, so check out. Be on the lookout for that.
We have a lot going on tonight. We're going to talk about the new Supreme Court justice nomination, and we're going to talk about some of the executive orders of Donald Trump. And at the end of the show, we're introducing a new segment called Dear Leader. And this is like Dear Abby. If you have life problems, you can write us, and the gang of We Are Libertarians will answer your questions. We've got a question about love. We've got a question about politics. We've got a question about business, so check that out at the end of the episode. I know some of you don't stay the whole time, and that is hurtful to me.
Most do.
But I understand. So I couldn't listen to me either. But when I do, I laugh at all my own jokes. Let me tell you something about having your own podcast. Christy Avery asked me today, do you think you're funny? And I said, well, when I listen to my own podcast, I laugh at my jokes. So, yes.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
No way.
When you listen, don't you laugh at yourself?
No, never. I don't laugh at too many things out loud unless it's a Hitler joke, but or a Bittner joke. Hitler or Bittner. Those are my two things that actually get me at my core.
Ah, the parallels of history. They say those who don't learn history are doomed to repeat it.
Some are reincarnated as it.
He's on a U-boat right now.
Yeah.
U-boat. Is that the type of cruise he was going on?
Yeah, he's going on a...
Heading down to Argentina?
He's heading to Argentina.
He was on a school board.
He was seeking to have his brain preserved.
Also was an artist, a ballet aspiring ballet dancer as a child.
God, I would.
Performance ballet dancer. That's why he loves like Swan Lake and those kind of stuff.
Hitler or Bittner?
Bittner.
Oh, okay.
Can we talk about the
Hitler
hot yoga?
Hitler, you would have thought.
Right. That's
the last
longer
time,
limbs.
The last time Chris was here was the homeschooled episode. It was about a year ago.
No. He's been on since.
It was Sam Goldstein.
Yep. No, okay. You've been on since we talked about Hillary Cash.
Yeah, there was another one.
Yeah,
the Hillary Clinton. Yeah, that's right. Clinton Cash.
Okay,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You were on the infamous Lil Brett Bittner episode about homeschooling.
At his own pace. Yeah.
Yeah. Learning at his own pace.
And you started just farting and then sticking your tongue out and going...
The homeschool one that I couldn't share with any other homeschool parents.
Exactly.
Honest to God, it's some of my finest work.
That's how you build anticipation.
No, it was good, yeah.
I had a ginger beer that night and I got lit and I was just... I couldn't stop laughing at Lil Brett Bittner. I cried at one
point. Basically... You didn't cyberbully him because it was in real life and recorded, but you audio bullied him.
That popped up in my memories on Facebook the other day.
It did.
His mullet and the sneakers and
the Air Bittners.
Yep.
The dual straps.
Walking at your own pace. So go back about a year ago and find that episode. It's really funny. And Bittner is doing well, so we'll have him on soon.
Potentially.
He invited himself on. He said, hey, I'd love to come on. And I said, well, we'll see. So
that's great. We get a lot of requests.
Let's jump into...
Glad you're a fan.
Let's jump into the Supreme Court nomination of Neil Gorsuch. Now, I think his last name sounds like what Goofy says. Is how do you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, somebody clarify this.
Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Gorsuch?
Gorsuch.
Okay. Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, okay.
All right.
Yeah, not Gorsh.
Gorsh?
Gorsh.
Yeah, so, I had no idea what that meme was, by the way.
Let me give a few bio points here about Neil. He's a widely acclaimed jurist, a favorite of conservatives and libertarians, but also very respected by liberal colleagues. He's exactly the kind of elite educated figure who's traditionally made it onto the court. Where's he? He's in what?
10th district. Or 10th, Court of Appeals appointed by George W. Bush.
Colorado. Okay.
Because he's young. He's only 49.
He'd be the youngest person on the court.
And he's the first ever to serve with the person he clerked for, Kennedy.
Kennedy.
The youngest ever.
His mother, Ann Gorsuch Buford, was Ronald Reagan's director of the Environmental Protection Agency from 81 to 83. He is a graduate of Columbia, where he was a Truman Scholar, Oxford, where he got a doctorate under the acclaimed Catholic legal philosopher John Finnis as a Marshall Scholar, and a Harvard Law, which five other members of the court attended. So that's
classmate of Barack Obama, Harvard Law.
Yeah, so Columbia, Oxford, and Harvard. Gorsuch clerked on the D.C. I should have looked this up.
The G guy.
Let's call him G-Man. G-Man clerked on the D.C. Circuit Court, and then for both...
Byron White.
I can't focus.
Did you just get what I think you got?
I didn't get nudes.
Okay.
No. That particular expedition of sliding in DMs with this particular girl has seemed to take a turn for the worst for the evening.
Dick pics?
No.
Better share.
Her boyfriend found out.
Gorsuch clerked on the D.C. Circuit and then for both Justices Byron White and Anthony Kennedy. President George H.W. appointed him to the 10th Circuit. Greg, why don't you talk a little bit about the speech he gave to Case Western University's School of Law and Scalia?
Yeah, so like a lot of the... any type of like... controversy or opposition to him is primarily based around he just considers Scalia God, which he really is. Like his influence on like textualists and originalists and then updating it from original intent, which is literally taking like what they intent was at the time of the founding to original meaning, which is trying to figure out the real meaning behind that. So rather than, like, for instance, the Second Amendment saying the right to bear arms and raise a militia, you know, they're not talking about muskets. Like, that's, that would be textualism, just intent. Whereas this is, what are they really, what's the real meaning behind what they're writing?
Right.
And so that is his, that is something that had a profound impact on Gorsuch. And so he was actually, after Scalia died, he was tabbed to give a speech at Case Western University's law school. And he wrote just a really, really thoughtful speech about, and it laid out sort of his beliefs on how he'll be as a justice. And so he quotes, he says, "But tonight I want to touch on a more thematic point and suggest that perhaps the great project of Justice Scalia's career was to remind us of the differences between judges and legislators. To remind us that legislators may appeal to their own moral convictions and to claims about social utility to reshape the law as they think it should be in the future, but judges should do none of these things in a democratic society. That judges should instead strive, if humanly and so imperfectively, to apply the law as it is, focusing backward and not forward, and looking to the text, structure, and history to decide what is a reasonable reader at the time of the events in question would have understood the law to be, not to decide cases based on their own moral convictions or the policy consequences they might believe serve society best," which is the, sort of the battle in all of constitutional law, legal realism versus legal originalism and textualism. And so he is a adherent, strong adherent to not seeing it as a living document, you know, not seeing the Constitution as something that that was for society then. Now we don't need to be restricted by those antiquated laws that a lot of progressive law and judicial activism is based on. One of the things he's famous for, one of his lines that he cites, I think was from Robert Bork, and it was that, "What I've found is that every time a justice looks outside the law for meaning, he only looks inside himself." Yeah. You know, they don't go out. So yeah, and that's just great, a great line. It's so true about judicial activism. And so he's a guy too that hasn't had very many controversial rulings. He's gotten lucky in that he hasn't had to, you know, issue a dissent or an opinion on a case that would prevent him from being on a nominee for Supreme Court.
One side would like, one side
like, he's never had to rule on Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Which is huge. I really like him because he has authored dissents and the majority opinions. It was a problem where the government didn't. There was a guy that had a gun in Colorado. The government, he didn't know he was a felon. They had failed to notify him that it was what he had done was a felony, so he was unaware. But then he gets arrested and has a gun, and he puts the emphasis of on informing on the government and rules against their case. And so they, you know, usually like Scalia would have ruled that the government doesn't have to. They have immunity. And he did the same thing on a case with a police that he ruled where the police couldn't. What was it? It was police brutality or police intervention. It's in here somewhere.
So, well, you were talking about dissents, and there was a case. It was A.M. versus Holmes, which is where the 13-year-old kid was burping in school.
Yep.
Yeah, so they called the police on him or whatever. So his dissent, and have you read it?
Oh, yeah.
It's good. So if a seventh grader starts trading fake burps for laughs in gym, what's a teacher to do? Order extra laps, detention, a trip to the principal's office, maybe. But then again, maybe that's too old school. Maybe today you call a police officer, and maybe today that officer decides that instead of just escorting the now compliant 13-year-old to the principal's office, an arrest would be a better idea. So out come the handcuffs, and off goes the child to juvenile detention. My colleagues suggest the law permits exactly this option, and they offer 94 pages explaining why they think so. Respectfully, I remain unpersuaded. He goes on to explain this. I mean, just how ridiculous that is.
Oh, right.
He's right.
That's the precedent.
No, that's perfect.
And like, so I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, as a libertarian, ideally, I wanted Napolitano. You know I mean? Like, that'd be my first pick.
I'm not complaining about this all.
I think it's as close as we could get.
I think having with the bench they have now and having another basically a Scalia on the bench is perfect.
And he's less pro government than Scalia on monopoly of force.
Yes. So 538 did a little diagram of those who had been on the court, and he was between Thomas and Scalia on the conservative side.
Thomas is like old school, original intent.
Right.
We're literally going off what this says on this piece of paper.
On the other end of the spectrum were all of the people that Barack Obama had put on the court. So
Kagan and And yeah. actually, Kagan has said quite written complimentary things about Gorsuch.
He actually wrote a published a policy analysis for the Cato Institute
on constitutional term limits.
Yes. And if you don't know what the Cato Institute is, what I call the Big Three: Cato, Reason, and Mises. If you're a new libertarian, go check those out.
Cato does the greatest, filling in the knowledge gaps for the libertarian, positions, because they are just comprehensive in what they'll
especially
take.
With data
and a lot of credentialed experts, not Jeffrey Tucker's.
Right.
Now, why you
online doctors?
Why you got to take a shot at Jeffrey? I love Jeffrey.
Well, because he's condescending to everyone that breaks from the gospel of liberty, even a little.
All right. So go check those out. He has also written a book. So he wrote the constitutionality of term limits. Was he for or against it?
No, he was saying that he believed that it, because that's a really hotly contested debate for legislators, because it's not in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that it would be harmonious with the intention of the Constitution and would not be unconstitutional. And so that was back in 94 or 92. He wrote that with another attorney for the Cato Institute, and then he wrote a book, because since he's never had to come down on Roe versus Wade, he wrote a book on euthanasia, and it's widely praised by even people that oppose what his decision he reaches, because he takes on every single opposing argument and makes nuanced, where he varies on the conclusions they reached, and just talks, he arrives at the conclusion that, since a human life is... the sanctity of it isn't even up for debate, that any person willfully taking their life is wrong, morally wrong.
Yeah.
And so that should, you can't say for certain that's what he'll use as his frame of reference for when he gets asked Roe versus Wade on the confirmation hearings, but that should give you an insight to how he believes.
In the book, Gorsuch offers a detailed critique of Peter Singer's influential utilitarian argument for allowing euthanasia, and of a similar one from a fellow circuit court judge, Richard Posner, as well as critiques of autonomy-based arguments from philosophers like Richard Dworkin.
And like Dworkin and Posner is like a legend, because he created basically like normative rights,
mm-hmm.
and universally cited it within like the legal justice theory. He's their Scalia on the left.
Right.
For the living document, folks.
And here's just an excerpt, a line that Greg highlighted. Human life is fundamentally and inherently valuable, and that the intentional taking of human life by private persons is always wrong. So not a surprise that he'd probably be on the pro-life side. He backed
How dare he?
Yeah.
The patriarchy.
Right.
It is not sanct. We are not here. None of us are sanct.
Gee, he's against euthanasia. Backed religious.
I'm for it for certain people.
Yeah.
If I could just influence him a little more.
Backed,
a push.
He backed religious challenges to the Affordable Care Act. A quote unquote, no one before us disputes that the mandate compels Hobby Lobby and Bardell to underwrite payments for drugs or devices that can have the effect of destroying a fertilized human egg. He wrote in a concurrence, no one disputes that the Greens' religious teaching teaches them that the use of such drugs or devices is gravely wrong.
So it'd be like Christian Scientists who believe that using that, they shouldn't use technology to heal themselves. So a company that is like a Christian Science based owned shouldn't be compelled to force to offer that kind of coverage. That violates their right to religious freedom. Mm-hmm. That mandate does.
Under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which we've had an issue with here in Indiana, yeah.
Mike Pence pretended like it didn't exist.
Right.
That what happened, and next thing you knew, he was at the Naval.
He's vice president. Yeah. He aborted the shit out of that from his record. Gorsuch argued, the government must give broad deference to religious groups' explanations of what their beliefs entail, even if those explanations seem inconsistent or unscientific. So
is very good at being, he favors a too liberal interpretation on personal rights, mm-hmm. like the Bill of Rights, whereas he is very, very, very cautious and against government, where the government's being right.
Right.
Which is, God, that just made me so happy because no, we never get one of those.
Yeah. Could you please put your nipples away? Well, I mean, like, he's been rubbing them the entire segment.
Scalia, I agree with a lot of times, but then sometimes he comes up to a decision. I'm like, my God, you statist prick.
Could you please stop hunting with RBG?
Yeah, right?
He's pretty much classic.
Soros
liberal.
Paid me to go to Texas that weekend.
Yeah. Smothered him with a bella. Like Scalia, he has shown a willingness to occasionally side with the defendants on criminal law matters. He sided with an Albuquerque middle schooler who was strip-searched by his school, dissenting while his colleagues ruled that the public school police officer and other employees are immune from lawsuits. So he was against an illegal search.
Yeah, that's like arguing,
seizure.
Like Nixon said, like, because I was president, it couldn't be illegal.
Right.
Like, no, that isn't how this works.
No, you're still under the law, dickhead.
Yeah.
Literally. In a 2012 dissent, he argued against applying the federal law banning felons from owning firearms to a defendant who had no idea he was a felon, and he expressed concern with overcriminalization, saying that states and the federal government have enacted too many statutes forbidding too much activity.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, is that it used to be the ignorance of law is no excuse, and this, he said, no. You know, if you don't know that you've committed a crime and they haven't made any effort to inform you, that the burden's on them, not on the individual.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know how many laws there are?
Right.
Yeah. Nobody does.
It's like the roads.
Yeah.
The roads. He has shown support for federalism by arguing against the idea of a dormant commerce clause or the idea that the Constitution's commerce clause. Excuse me.
I knew constitutional law was a terrible topic for tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody's eyes are glazing over listening to Alex Jones talk about.
Well, except for the libertarians. They're loving it.
Yeah, that's true. The purists. He's not pure enough for them, though.
Only allows Congress to regulate interstate commerce, but also bans the states from doing so.
Yeah, like any time the state or the federal government stepped in and tried to intervene by offering subsidies for like wind development that make it uncompetitive for Colorado's organically grown industries, he has authored opinions that have pushed back. Because a lot of times with like regulatory agencies, if the law doesn't clarify, the way it is now based on legal rulings is that they get to interpret. Mm-hmm. He has been the biggest proponent in America saying no. That go from here. It need the benefit of the doubt needs to go to the legislature,
right,
or to us as judges, not to the agency. It's in their best interest to interpret it however they want,
right?
Isn't that part of the Chevron?
Yeah, that was the Chevron case.
The Chevron case. He's against, I believe.
Yeah, he wrote the dissenting opinion on that one.
Yeah,
so
Epstein was
Richard Epstein. Yeah,
him. They're both colleagues, I believe.
Yeah. So just to jump back a little bit, when it comes to, let's say, assisted suicide and euthanasia, what would be the libertarian perspective? I would think that the libertarian perspective would be it's up to that individual and their doctor and their family, that the government has no right to stop a person from self-assisted or from doctor-assisted suicide or.
Yeah. There's no law against suicide.
Yeah, there are.
There's
laws.
A law against medically assisted suicide.
I do believe suicide's illegal.
No, suicide is illegal.
They don't. Who do they bill?
Exactly.
If you don't succeed, you can be charged. Oh,
yeah, you're screwed if you don't.
If there's debt collectors in heaven or hell,
I've known
for government
people.
Infringement or government suicide, I'll be pissed.
IRS has a division there.
They're losing a tax.
For sure.
They're losing
they
a tax base.
Yeah. So
you can't just be killing
you're
yourself.
A productive resource. You're not allowed to die.
Nothing helps a person recover from a failed suicide attempt like putting them in jail.
Yeah.
Backed religious challenges to the Affordable Care Act, libertarians are against the Affordable Care Act or government intervention in the marketplace of anything but health specifically, and we don't believe that employers should be forced by the government to pay for things that they don't believe in. When it comes to RFRA, when it comes to religious freedom,
it's nuanced.
It's nuanced because we believe that people shouldn't be forced to do things that they don't want to do, and that applies to both sides. A gay couple shouldn't use the force of law to force a Christian cake maker to bake them a cake.
That's not what Gary Johnson said.
That's not at all what Gary Johnson said, and he's libertarian God.
But at the same time,
so you will put rainbow icing on my fucking.
We don't endorse discrimination. It's wrong when people listen. It's every business owner's right to turn away people that they don't want to serve. If it were a Jewish baker and Nazis came in and wanted a cake, the Jewish baker should be allowed. Should have the right. They do have the right. The government doesn't have the right to take this right away from them. To say that they are forced to bake that cake. So what Gary Johnson was basically saying is, listen, a lot of these laws are written by Christian special interest groups who are trying to enshrine discrimination into the law. And that's,
they want
and I'm
additional
not okay
protections
with
than what are
yeah,
currently granted.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is odd because theoretically you'd be increasing the right to freedom of expression for anyone on religious grounds by passing a law, which isn't always the case.
Yeah.
How do you pass a law and make someone more free?
Well, it's, you know, if it's favorable law to me right now,
right.
They're not looking towards the future. Right.
It's a matter of
perspective.
As a Christian, I'm a little bit more free. I can exercise my right to freedom of expression by denying someone, denying any customer.
Services. You're not as a freer homosexual, by passing more laws.
My ability to purchase from anyone I so choose is restricted. And so it's a reduction for theoretically for them. But they also can't buy from someone right now in Russia that they're unaware of.
Right.
I'm for a cake tax.
And that doesn't mean we should pass a law that everyone that makes cakes should have to publish a directory and allow, you know, so there's no discrimination against anyone.
Right. The free market will figure this out, especially when
it already
cakes.
Has.
Yeah.
So
cupcakes are free.
Gary Johnson said, you're going to bake that cake or I'm going to cause another Holocaust.
I don't think that's what he said.
Yeah.
I watched the Stossel.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay.
And then he kissed somebody.
Captain, yeah, Captain
William Weld.
Captain Trump over here.
No, I'm just joking. I love Gary's a great guy.
On the Albuquerque Middle Schooler, we are against the government illegally searching people because we believe in the Constitution. Well, most of us. And we agree.
Well, that's another thing. Like, do
we agree on overcriminalization. There are way too many laws, and our drug policies are way out of whack and
counterproductive.
Counterproductive too. So he and in the case of federalism, the way that the Constitution is written is there are enumerated powers. There are, I think, it's 17 specific things that the Constitution says the government can do, and in the 9th and 10th of the Bill of Rights, it says all the rest of the functions of government are to be left to the state.
And then it gives you a way of, you know, amending things, a process.
Exactly right. And if you want to change the government of the United States, then you amend the Constitution.
Yeah, it's not fixed. This is just how you do it.
But then as soon as Marbury versus Madison was passed, the federal government instantly grew because the court said, we'll judge what is and is not constitutional, which was never the intent.
We are the supreme law of the land.
Right.
They pretty much gave themselves the power.
Right, and that's when the government monster started to grow.
Until Jefferson Davis, that patriot, seceded. Oh yeah.
And so federalism is federalism is the idea of a return to the power of states. Mm-hmm. The states have the power
granted to them.
We have 50 laboratories of Republican democracy. If I say democracy, I'll have a bunch of it's not a democracy.
It's a republic.
Y'all are annoying the shit out of me and have since 2010. Shut the fuck up. We get it. We know.
For the purposes of the conversation, we're using terminology that everyone will understand.
Helicopters?
Yeah.
Let me give a friendly. This is one of the cues, okay? This is on our test for social awkwardness. If you have ever written on Facebook at any time, it is a republic, not a democracy, you are socially awkward and you need to see a therapist.
Sorry, guys.
You do?
It's been a couple years.
Right? You don't do it to troll. It's one thing if you're doing it to provoke. It's another thing if you're serious and totally unaware that everyone's staring at you and all.
All right, let me amend that, okay? You get a six-month grace period after learning about federalism.
All right, it's been more than 6 months.
The burden is on us.
It's been more than 6 months.
So you're going to have to prove that.
No, I'm saying you learn about the idea of federalism and constitutionalism and libertarianism, and you're on fire. You have 6 months from that point to say it's a republic, not a democracy.
Get it all out.
After that 6 months, you need to get some help.
Whew.
And you need to examine how you're interacting with other people because there's some problems.
Need a 360-degree assessment
of
their awkwardness.
I say it every election.
I know, but you're a resident.
But I'm Tad Western. I tell people.
Well, there are referendums in the states.
He's a truth teller.
So it's a democracy.
I got into a war on Reddit just because I like to go on there and troll with people.
Well, you discovered.
And they're like, Donald Trump just cut women's funding to third world countries. Don't you know that's how that was keeping Zika and Ebola from getting to the United States? And I was like, what are you talking about? Zika and Ebola are way better at controlling, at killing babies than birth control would. Way more effective and cost effective than birth control that we're sending over there could be.
Boy,
and they're
that,
like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You cannot be serious. I'm like, actually,
we're
going
to ban people like
his
you.
Name
like,
is,
Zika's free.
His name is Tad Western. Well, yeah. I'm serious.
And I don't even give a shit.
I'm writing,
I'll argue,
I have a cowboy
I'll
hat
argue
on.
Whatever you're against just to piss you off. I don't.
Right.
Especially if it's Saturday
That's
night and I'm bored.
Advanced trolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't care what side you're on.
And
I'm
now
going
you
after
can be
you.
President by mastering that.
Oh, well, I'm heading that way.
Well, that's the thing is, I was so impressed. 32? I was like, this is the best pick he could have made.
So, one final point on Gorsuch is Gorsuch, whatever.
Gorsuch.
I've given up. What's his first name again?
Neil.
Right. Just call him Neil.
Justice Neil.
The biggest difference between our buddy Neil. Neil is such a stepdad's name.
He is the typical granola Western libertarianish guy.
Really?
He kayaks and probably has a Subaru.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like Gary
Colorado.
Johnson.
Has he ever had a rule on weed?
But it's okay because he's not
sure
a politician.
He's a justice. Right, though, being
have to know about Aleppo.
One at a time,
exactly.
Tad.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
Tad's over here doing his own show. Sorry, listeners. Every time we have Tad on, at least once during the episode, I have to tell him to really focus on his.
I was focusing.
I know it's hard for you.
Truth telling.
I know.
I got a lot on my mind. I'm trying to figure out how to make this.
There's a
this
lot of
cruise work.
A lot of lot of sensory stimulation happening in the room.
Can you turn the lights down?
Yeah, it is. It's super bright in here. And all I hear is this.
On the board.
All I hear is your furnace going.
Oh yeah. Can you turn that off, please?
Yeah, that thing goes nonstop.
Yeah, that's my air purifier.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that thing is?
Yeah.
He bought those InfoWars filters and
the left side of my brain's been.
He wonders why he feels so good and. I'm just saying, Alex Jones is onto something.
Let me be.
Is this thing feeding super male vitality through
yes.
the building?
So let me just say, let me give a review on the super male vitality.
This morning was shocking to me.
What?
Because we've spent so much time mocking Alex Jones and everything.
Yeah.
And then this morning,
and then I made
says,
a revelation.
Unsolicited.
I got to be honest. I've used it for like a month now. And when I take it about 2 in the afternoon because I open my drawer and I'm like, oh, there's some super male vitality. I better use this. Because I don't want it to go bad.
Well,
no,
it's expensive.
Right. Yeah,
it's just sugar water.
Every batch is
it's not going
individual.
Bad.
So no two batches are alike.
No, it's super powerful,
it's like Russian beer.
You really can only take one because if you take two, you're too full of tea.
You know, you're right because
you start shooting globalists at work.
I was checking out your pond earlier, which all your piss dumps into, and I pulled a fish out and had a mustache. That's how much testosterone was going into the water supply.
Just because of my pee, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So I about 2 in the afternoon, I open the drawer, and I'm like, you know, when I take a B vitamin complex in the afternoon. And
is that the 100?
It's got a bunch of different combinations of B, and I take some vitamin C.
B5.
And so when I do that, I take a couple drops of the Superman Vitality, and I will tell you
drops. So on, wait.
Yeah, they're in a little like
they're a dropper.
Oh, it's a vial. It's like
okay.
Iodine.
All right,
color of apple juice.
That's legit.
Consistency.
Okay, I thought it was okay.
And so you drop a couple in your mouth. You know, it's got stevia and it's got maca. It's got some real hardcore roots and leaves.
Maga.
And you drop it, and I will be honest. Within 5 minutes, I have more energy.
No, it's you said you'd stop yawning and you notice that you don't get that little lull in the mid-afternoon.
I'd plow right through that 3 p.m. sleepy period. And Aaron claims, head of Wall Health, okay, mind you, Aaron is head of Wall Health.
The drunk. Got whiskey drunk before 9 two nights in the last week.
Well, and you brought a 12-pack instead of a 6-pack because you
for
thought...
For Aaron.
Yeah, for Aaron.
I assumed Aaron is here. I better get a case.
And he's sick right now.
Yeah,
and he's got norovirus, but he's head of Wall Health. He and I have been
trust us.
Yeah.
Well, he and I have been talking back and forth about how much vitamin C to take, and so you know I've been advising him, but he didn't take enough, and that's why he got the virus. And I couldn't let him in here today because I've only had 2 grams today. That's not enough to fight off the norovirus. And
just the globalists, not the norovirus.
I wish any of this were a joke. And
I was literally like. I wasn't sure if you were serious or not this morning when you wrote that.
Dead.
Because it was unsolicited. You just blatantly came out and said, you know, guys, I hate to say this, but...
I think it works.
I know.
I don't feel more manly, but I feel like... I feel...
Alert.
More, right. And the only way that I can...
High tea.
Right. No, what I can middle say
case.
Is that if you take it... I've studied the effects, okay? I've done... research methodology, as I said at work.
Was this a double-blind placebo?
It was. And Wall Health leader Aaron Ewert says it's probably placebo, but if it's placebo, it's still working, isn't it?
Right, that doesn't it make is. A difference. Yeah. Whether, yeah. You know.
Because I feel more energetic, and I plow right through the last 2 hours.
Give a person a pill and they
day.
Get healthy again. What difference does it make?
Exactly
what's in it?
Right.
That's why the FDA should be abolished.
I forgot. Tad Western, I've got my vitamin D coming out.
He said ladies.
Or men, if you need some vitamin D in your life.
Seth?
Tad Western's vitamin D.
What's so special about your vitamin D?
It's huge.
You're so yeah.
Pills are a son
God,
of a bitch.
He got real quiet.
You are immature, sir. I know.
I'm just trying to lighten the mood. Everything's so serious with Spangle being the alpha male. He's bullying everybody into being quiet.
Mayo's like 3 feet taller than me. He's 7'1". And so it's just like, I gotta really alpha down here.
I know.
You know?
You're barking. You're barking up the wrong tree. I'm so, on your side.
You can cut the tension in here with a knife.
I know.
You know how hard it
I'm
is?
I'm starting to sweat.
I have to deal
oh
with
God,
it.
God, Alex Jones. I have to get my
climate control polo shirt on.
Size too tight.
I
my
think
nipples
that's
are protruding.
I think that's heart beaming.
He has it on all the time. None of the buttons will button because it's that tight. So like his chest buttons are spread wide open.
Right.
And his nipples are sticking out like two pencil erasers.
Listen,
and he's alpha. Going on like this. And the robots. And Pierce Morgan, we're going to have a revolution.
I've got Greg. I've got Tad Western here. Chris Mayo shows up. I've got to really flex. All right?
Yeah.
I've got to.
We're the alpha team.
It's just an alpha contest.
I know.
So yes.
How do you feel about the appointment?
I'm very, I like him. I think that his credentials, he seems very qualified. I think that he is an appropriate pick to replace Scalia.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Merrick Garland, I mean, obviously he and I have different philosophies of government, where I have the philosophy government of the court of Thomas and Scalia.
But it needs to be restrained to what it was originally set up as.
Right. But
that's
thought,
how you have to err on the side of that.
Like, Merrick Garland wasn't a poor choice if you really studied his credentials from a Democratic president. Like, a Democrat.
He has their philosophy.
Right.
You know.
So he was more centrist.
He wasn't so far to the left.
Well, he
like,
got lucky he hadn't had to rule a lot.
Yeah.
Just like Gorsuch.
Gorsuch right. is the same way. But yep. what he has ruled on, he is definitely farther right.
So
I think he's libertarian-ish.
I do too.
And I think a lot of, you know, and of course the left is automatically gonna not support it because
can
it's
I kill my
pick.
Baby or not tell
well,
me
yeah it's Trump's pick, but it's just like Scalia was with Bush. I think you're as likely to see him dissenting from anything that the current administration does.
I think he's gonna rule a lot because he clerked under Kennedy, yeah. who's the swing yes, vote. I see him shocking people on anything that curtails government
yeah.
or anything that's a violation of civil rights.
Right.
He's
no,
definitely got a lot of a as far experience as far as dealing with Kennedy and then
well, yeah,
with the court.
Croaking with Kennedy, like I think that's going to shock people in how he reaches his decisions. And, you know, if I would encourage, read the euthanasia book if you're one of the, you know, I would challenge any liberal that's opposed because they'll never actually research it for someone.
They're not.
They're just against him because Trump's for him.
Exactly, yeah.
It's us versus them.
I think he gets through.
I don't see any problem. Yeah.
What's your contention other than supporting Hobby Lobby? And then, I mean, Republicans would have contentions on the immunity of government and they'd have contentions on the burden of proof of notification being on the government.
Yeah. yeah. No,
and
that's then, what I mean. Yeah. I think it's a great way to balance the bench. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see where it's, he's really going to support, you know, if it's a party thing, he's going to support one
Anyone,
or the other.
Any Republican yeah. who opposes him is going to.
And they're not allowed
they're
to.
They're done. I mean, they're done if they go for
shamed.
Re-election.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And Democrat, I don't think the Democrats are going to oppose him.
I don't know why you
it's
would.
It's going to be worthless.
He's so mild mannered. Like mm-hmm. you could expose Betsy DeVoe in the confirmation hearings,
oh, yeah,
the education.
Right,
like,
yeah.
She's not
a politician at
yeah,
all.
She didn't get 1600 on her SATs. That's
right.
certainly. But
she did get $16 billion.
But like, that's like Mattis. You couldn't expose. So they didn't really make it a big thing. Tillerson, they weren't sure, but they learned pretty quickly they were never going to be able to trap him. And this guy, if you go on the offensive, he's so mild mannered. Mm-hmm. And well spoken.
Hey, you're going to be an ass.
Yeah. And so I really think that this was really smart, and no one thought it was going to be that.
No.
Did you read the story?
No. Can we talk about the, well, yeah, about how he was protected and everything?
They got him in there.
Military jets and everything.
It was like
it?
Getting Snowden out of Hong Kong.
Yeah, because he wanted to keep it secret. But also, the point that we haven't talked about is Trump keeping his promise about here are my 11 justices and I'm going to narrow it down and who the people want. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame Trump for saying he's keeping his campaign promises, whether they're good or not, or whether he's even thought them through.
How dare you he's say something positive about him? Yeah. He is a neo-crypto-fascist racist.
Two years ago, I was like, Trump's going to win the fucking nomination. And he's got a good shot at taking out Hillary.
Well, I am glad that he has stuck. I thought he would pick people like this because he just doesn't hate gay people. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. Trump is a New York Republican that thinks conservatives, socially conservative people are stupid.
Who donated to Democrats.
Chuck Schumer's first donor.
Right.
And then did you see the Chuck Schumer? They did the vigil. And he was crying.
Oh, tears. Oh my God.
Yeah, and he goes, he lit him up. I've known Chuck a long time. I'm going to ask him who his acting coach is.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I just died.
Was that a speech this morning, wasn't it? Or was it
yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
They're friends and get along. Yeah, yeah. And so the fact that he called out his buddy like that, the microphone didn't work, he's like, oh, it's like their party.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch any of the in between. Like live feeds of what's going on when he signed documents. Trump is always just cracking jokes and ripping on everybody.
His desk, though, is ridiculous. That would trigger my ADD seen.
Yeah.
He doesn't use anything digital, so it's all notebooks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all written down.
Yeah. Listen, here's a public spangle announcement. I can't.
Public.
You see there how many books and everything. I need to clean that up because I can't focus when it's this messy. Like, it's not messy in here, but
he's
just
got a reading
disorganized. Yeah, I've created my own little.
This is the messiest I've ever seen it.
Yeah. How dare you?
I'm just saying.
Usually
I'm pretty impressed.
To me, it's just really dark, and it's gotten a lot better since we shut off.
I'll tell you this. He would never allow Renee to have it like this. He'd tell her.
Yeah. My house doesn't look like this.
You educate our kids, and I want to be able to eat off the bathroom floor, hun. Chop, chop.
So, but like when I looked at the photo of Trump's desk in the White House,
it triggered me.
Talking to the Australian, I was just like, oh, his office is awful.
Well, he's like looking over stacks to look at the ambassadors he's talking to.
That means
to.
He's got work going on. He's not like Obama twiddling his thumb. Yeah. Alex, are they gonna pass my health care?
Alex Jones.
With 60 votes and a supermajority in both houses.
Alex Jones
down there to the house.
Says he is working 21 hours a day. He's sleeping 3
hours
a night.
Well, his tweet was at 4 a.m. Yeah. Making fun of everybody.
Yeah, I guess he wakes up and he just like reads all the newspapers and watches the news every morning. It's so funny, like this Arnold Schwarzenegger fight.
I love
it's
it.
Not a fight. Yes. It's for ratings.
Yeah.
He's still heavily invested in The Apprentice.
His brand.
Right. It is hilarious to me that like,
they're actors.
Well, they're so similar. And, like, Arnold is one of my heroes. I love everything about Arnold and somebody who is...
Because...
Really?
Immigrant apologist, as always. No.
Okay.
No borders.
Here is a guy who comes to America...
Maria Shriver did him dirty.
Barely speaks English.
He did the maid dirty.
He rises... He becomes not just the top of three of the most competitive industries in the world and the most competitive country in the world. He becomes the gold standard for two of those industries and the governor of California in bodybuilding, movie making, and politics. He is one of the most inspirational dudes that you can possibly like if you especially his early years, like you're just like, holy shit, this guy's awesome.
He had no like privilege at all in any facet of his life, and he just worked his way out of it.
No, but he didn't work. He literally lifted weights and then became the governor.
That's
of California.
What was available.
That's all he did.
Yeah. I mean, that's all there was open to him,
yes,
so he did it.
All it
he
takes.
Learned four fucking words and he lifted weights till he was a giant. That's okay. It.
That's what knowing James Cameron does for you.
And so,
get in a James Cameron movie and life is set.
But he's a lot like Trump. Like all along the way, people are like, you're never like back before.
You can't be serious.
You can't get into movies. You can't even talk. You can't.
You're a Republican in California.
You can't do a comedy, and yet Twins is his highest grossing movie that he's made the most money on.
Turbo Man.
Let's be honest. Danny DeVito carried that.
So
it's shut your mouth.
All along the way, people
have you
have
seen
been
Always Sunny?
Yeah, it's great.
Counting him out, and he just succeeds. You know, and
oh, he's against every odd. He's risen, and you know.
But if you watch what was the documentary of Pumping Iron?
Pumping Iron. Yeah.
It is. It's on
classic.
It's on Netflix right now, and you got to watch it. He is such a shit poster. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're the same person.
Just the way he was trolling Lou Ferrigno the whole time.
Right,
his dad.
Right before they go out, and like he's like, I always tried to get in the heads, and he's like watching him. He's like, Oh, Lou, you look so tired. Are you going to be able to go out there okay?
Yeah, he's telling his dad he's screwing him up.
Right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't listen to your dad. Yeah. Like he's
right. Isn't it funny how at the top of whatever it is, it's all psychological.
It is. Yeah.
Everyone's already done all the work, and then it's just trying to get in their heads.
It's the game behind what's actually what you're planning on.
Right, because everyone's basically equal.
And then at the end of the documentary, the future governor of California is smoking a joint in the back of a bus.
Right. Yeah. And he's talking about, listen, when I'm in the gym, I get the pump.
Well, that's pump. Also, I do believe he pours whiskey into his protein shake when it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, God damn, I love this guy.
Oh, they didn't have protein
shakes. That's what men do.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it's like what Clint Eastwood did in Gran Torino.
I get the pump. It's so great. It's this
Shut
great
up,
feeling.
Dragon lady.
Yeah.
The pump is better than coming. I'm just in heaven. I'm pumping.
When I'm pumping.
I'm coming in the day. I'm coming in the night. I'm just coming all the time. It's so great. It's such a
and
great
he's no such one a good gave guy. A like, just on a personal level, like,
because
he's
honest.
Such a solid dude.
He saved he up $27,000 from his Mr. Olympia money and put it into real estate investment with Weider, who invented the Olympia contest and invented bodybuilding, really. And started becoming a real estate investor. But it's so funny. So Trump is like, because Arnold told people not to vote for him on Twitter, Trump now has a hard-on for him. And he's the Apprentice host. And so Trump keeps dogging him on the ratings, saying, listen, your ratings are so much lower than my ratings. Your ratings are terrible. It's sad. And so Arnold put out a video. So during the prayer breakfast, the fucking prayer breakfast for the President of the United States, where it's always so solemn, Trump is leading the audience in prayer of all these pastors and moms. And he goes, and dear Lord, please help Arnold Schwarzenegger and his low, low ratings. And like,
perfect.
What? And so Arnold released a video saying, hey, why don't you and I trade jobs and then people maybe won't be so afraid all the time, yeah? So
Trump's a master.
And so we're going to have 4 years of these two shit posters going back and forth. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
If
I'm
Hillary
so
would have won by now, I don't know what we'd be talking about.
We'd be bored.
We'd be
shit.
So struggling.
We'd probably all be dead. Yeah.
Instead, she sucks.
It's same you old, wake same up old. And like, damn it, I didn't beat Trump up, and he was up talking shit about Chuck Schumer's fake tears.
Yeah,
right. Remember when he was talking shit to John Stewart?
Oh yeah,
at like 4 o'clock in the morning talking shit.
But I mean, he's calmed it down. But they're working. And I was one thing about the whole Gorsuch pick. Is you know how like a lot of the stories that have been coming out are about incompetence, they're over their head, and they're having to rely on, you know, Bannon? The effectiveness of keeping it silent on Gorsuch almost scared me to how effective they were.
Yeah, he didn't, it means he didn't
They
sent
him, they called him, who was it? Was it Priebus that called him, or was it Bannon?
Priebus, I believe.
Yeah, I think Priebus called him and let him know.
Well, I read on Twitter that Bannon is president, so
but
it was Bannon.
Yeah, that was the Huff.
Here it is. The ratings went down the tubes. It's been a total disaster, and Mark will never, ever bet against Trump again. And I want to just pray for Arnold if we can for those ratings, okay?
That is a religious prayer. That's actually very nice, though, because if his ratings
that's really sweet.
That's why the evangelicals love him.
That's all he did is prop Arnold up a little more.
You know, those two Corinthian guys.
Yeah, those two Corinthians.
Two Corinthians walking to a bar.
Arnold is a billionaire. He's not hurting, okay?
No,
he's fine.
Well,
but they're exploiting it for ratings. That's what they do. They make the media dance.
Yep.
And then we talk about it on a podcast. And we're like, why are we talking about substance?
Right.
Trump's a master manipulator.
Yeah, it's interesting, though.
It's funny.
Gorsuch, though, so they let him know. They have him go to a next-door neighbor's house and wait, so in case anyone's watching. Then they take back roads through Colorado, get him on a military jet, fly him into D.C. and put him up at another colleague's home, keep him there for, what, a week or 3-4 days? Don't even tell Lindsey Graham, who's going to be leading the confirmation hearing, until 45 minutes before, and tell the rest of the Republicans 30 minutes before. Yeah. That's who the pick is.
Right.
And so, like, I hear the incompetence, and then I'm like,
that's pretty slick.
Trump beat Greenwald in smuggling someone out of somewhere and keeping their secret. Yeah. And Greenwald is the gold standard. Yeah. So they're not all, you know, they're not that stupid. I have a feeling they're, like, I really think they are letting out a lot of, like
there's a lot of misinformation going on, and they play into the he doesn't know what he's doing. He's been doing this shit.
Well, it tells you nothing makes it out if they don't want it.
Exactly.
Right.
That's scary. because that means they're letting out incompetence constantly.
You also got to realize what he used to do in the real estate industry is that he would throw something out that, you know, I'm going to do this over here, and then
meet with Mitt Romney while Rex Tillerson comes in the back door.
As he's buying up buildings all around it, and you know, oh, that place is shithole.
I don't
just
want that.
Getting prices going. You know, he's always looking into the future.
But it's, I mean,
he's
I don't know.
He's got a plan, but it's.
But is any of the incompetence true? Is Bannon the president?
I don't think it is. I don't
unless
think
they
it
want
is.
Us
and,
to
you
think
know,
it.
And we joke about the whole, you know, draining the swamp thing. And,
right.
And he's, I see both sides of that. He's filled himself, his surrounded himself with a ton of
great people,
competence and great
Absolutely.
People. Yeah, no, he has.
And they,
you know, and the thing about
the
thing about George W. Bush, and I, for all of his faults, I like the man, I respect him, but he surrounded himself with everybody from the Nixon and his dad's era, you know, and Trump hasn't done that. He has picked a lot of current establishment people, but there's a lot of experience in there.
I mean
there's
like
a lot
Bannon
of people
isn't
in there.
If you're telling me the chief editor for Breitbart News is an insider, you're crazy.
Right. No, I agree.
There
are exceptions.
The accusations to me are like, who is it that's an insider?
No, there are exceptions. Like, I'm not a big fan of Sessions or whatever, but it's you can't say that he hasn't surrounded himself with people that are knowledgeable on whatever they're not subject
whatever
matter
their expertise
experts.
They are,
it's
or whatever
not
that,
that they're inside government experts or they've been around the Hill. It's that they know very competent. Yeah. You don't run Breitbart News. Make it as big as
and
it
be
is,
Goldman
and be
Sachs managing partner
and
for their Hollywood financing arm.
You don't. You're not. They're not.
Well, that's
dumb
the thing.
People.
You're going to run into those circles regardless. Now, if you make it to the top of your field, you're going to be one phone call away from whoever you need to meet.
It's very,
it's,
very small.
Or else
company.
You're not being considered at all because they're not aware of you.
So
and you can't fill it with.
And
those
that's people. What that's what got me. So Iran came back after that whole missile thing and said something about, you know, they weren't threatened by somebody with what was it? No experience.
Yeah.
What was their? I don't remember what their line was. They sent out. I don't remember what it was, but it's
it
like,
was a snarky leftist criticism.
So here's Michael T. Flynn and all these other people are like they're the ones that are running this whole program. You
General
Mattis, it's like
the
most
revered,
I'm like,
you know, Marine.
Who,
in
who
history.
Are you talking? Are you, I mean, they must be talking about Trump.
But the warrior monk.
My cousin Matt is a Marine, and he had nothing but he was in the late 90s in the Marines and was on the staff out in San Diego. And he just raved over Mattis and how great Flynn was and, like, what great picks they made and how excited the Marines are over this.
Well, they a lot of times will go against, like, they just won't go along. And that was perceived to have limited their careers and why they didn't, you know, why he hadn't already been defense secretary or secretary of defense or Flynn having to sort of unceremoniously leave the D.C. establishment for being willing to talk about things that aren't a lot, you know, that are just fringe enough. And so it's nice to see that those guys finally got rewarded for being willing to not just go along to get along.
Yeah.
Because that's what Bob Gates is. And that's what, like, Petraeus. They're go along to get along guys. McChrystal.
Yeah. And Gates is. I respect the hell out of it. I've met Gates before. And
he's a smart guy.
He is. Like, honestly, I like Mattis as a pick. I do. I love the hell out of Gates.
Oh, yeah.
As a person and how personal he took everything and what it meant to him. I mean, it didn't matter who you were. I met him while I was still in the Air Force. It didn't matter who you served in the Air Force. If somebody had gotten killed, I mean, what it meant to him and how he responded to that and his view of the war that started before he was the SecDef. You know,
I respect,
but to your point, I see what you're saying. Where he was trying to play the game.
Well, because he thought his career was done, and
he did. Yeah.
If Donald Trump hadn't won, he was going to be out on the West Coast, probably do the lecture circuit and sail off into the sunset.
No, but I think Mattis was a great pick too, and I don't know if this rolls into the whole.
Gorsuch was that, you know.
Yeah.
But so then the executive orders tie in, which has been the shitstorm of all shitstorms.
Well, everyone's got an opinion.
So let me outline what happened with the immigration executive order. So we're going to give you
You mean the Muslim ban?
We're going to give you a 10,000 overview of what happened and give you facts as opposed to
outrage.
Hyperventilating. Have you served your country today and overreacted on social media over a headline that you retweet because you want to impress your
friends?
It's
getting fierce, though, on social media.
So I got invited to this podcast, like, right after I posted something about that. So
you were part of the problem.
Yep. Guess you were going to
Mr. writing out a post about, I'm against the Muslim ban. Yeah. He hates turbans.
So here
moving on.
Here are the facts.
Now he's on the good side.
First, the order temporarily halts refugee admissions for 120 days to improve the vetting process, then caps... So again... Order temporarily halts refugee admissions for 120 days.
Rand Paul proposed a bill that halted it for 60 days.
Right. Then
he's the son of God.
Then caps refugee admissions at 50,000 per year. Outrageous, right? Not so fast. Before 2016, when Obama dramatically ramped up refugee admissions, Trump's 50,000 stands roughly in between a typical year of refugee admissions in W's two terms and a typical year in Obama's two. Second, the order imposes a temporary 90-day ban on people entering the U.S. from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. The ban is in place while the Department of Homeland Security determines the information needed from any country to adjudicate any visa, admission, or other benefit under the INA. Adjudications in order to determine that the individual seeking the benefit is who the individual claims to be and not a security or a public safety threat. It could, however, be extended or expanded depending on whether countries are capable of providing the requested information.
Which is tough because these are a lot of times like civil war in Syria. So like right. The authority of the regime is in question. So getting information out is... I don't know if it's going to be valid. It's what happened in Greece when a bunch of people fled there after the Syrian civil war.
Especially trying to figure out where they're coming from or what country.
But if it's forged, because it's paper documents. It's not digital.
You're literally taking their word for their age and everything else.
The ban, however, contains an important exemption. Secretaries of State and Homeland Security may, on a case-by-case basis, and when in the national interest, issue visas on other immigration benefits to nationals of countries for which visas and benefits are otherwise blocked. The order itself provides for the necessary case-by-case exemptions on the temporary blanket bans. There are reports that the ban is being applied even to green card holders. This is madness.
And that was the crazy part.
Right. The plain language on the order doesn't apply to legal permanent residents of the U.S. Green card holders have been through the round after round of vetting and security checks. The administration should intervene immediately to stop misapplication of this ruling.
And yeah, there were some reports of that being misapplied. And that, I mean, they already got the pass go card. You can't give them the do not pass go.
Right.
Third, they already got vetted.
Trump's order also puts an indefinite hold on admission of Syrian refugees to the U.S. until such time, quote unquote, until such time as I have determined that sufficient changes have been made to the USRAP to ensure that admission of Syrian refugees is consistent with the national interest. This is a return to the Obama administration's practices from 2011 to 2014.
Pre-Syrian civil war in Aleppo.
Right.
Pre him wanting us to go in.
Right. Fourth.
Crooked Hillary.
There is a puzzling amount of outrage over Trump's directive to, quote-unquote, prioritize refugee claims made by individuals on the basis of religious-based persecution, provided that the religion of the individual's minority religion is in the individual's country of nationality. In other words, once refugee admissions resume, members of minority religions may well go to the front of the line. In some countries, this means Christians and Yazidis. In other words, it can well mean Muslims.
It's the minority, whoever...
Right.
Yeah, the minority status of the religious dominance of the country.
If you're in a majority Muslim country and you're a minority...
A Christian or Yazidi.
If you're in Egypt, the Coptic Christians in Egypt have been destroyed. Yeah. If you're in Syria and you're a Christian, you're on top of the ISIS hit list.
Yeah, the Coptic Christians in Syria or in Egypt, those are always the people that you talk about because ISIS sold all the Yazidi women as sex slaves.
Right. So this makes sense.
In Saudi Arabia.
Also in Africa.
The ban is deeply problematic as applies to legal residents of the U.S. and to interpreters and other allies seeking refugee in the United States after demonstrated and courageous service to the United States. Vox. Trump's refugee ban, annotated by a former top Democratic... If we want to go through, okay.
Because so. that was one of the main criticisms was the amateur hour, how it was drafted.
Right.
And it was, because it was drafted by, that one was drafted by Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. The young, I think he's only like 31 or 32.
Is he the Secretary of State out in, no, that's them.
No, he was a policy head. He went to Duke, was a prominent member in the Duke Conservative Union. He's real incendiary because of...
Lacrosse player.
He defended the white lacrosse player at Duke, and that ended up being justified.
Right,
right.
But yeah, so he is a controversial figure, but he is, you know, he's our age. Mm-hmm. And he authored an executive order, and they didn't take it to the Department of State. They didn't take it to the Department of Homeland Security to weigh in with how it should be worded. And they just put it out there, and that is why the injunction was issued by the federal court justice in New York, because based on the interpretation, people that were already in the air and had already been vetted were banned from entering after being the okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so there was a... You're saying that someone that might have been fleeing already or coming here now has to be immediately physically removed, and that can put them in danger.
There was no window as far as implementation. And there was a lot of gray, sketchy shit.
It's because it was written by a 31-year-old.
And there's a lot of interpretation issues. And that was probably my biggest thing. And unlike, I think, most of the people on social media, I think we all read it before commenting on it. And that was a big thing directly related to the EO itself. That was a big thing for me, is there was a lot of... vagueness or interpretation issues
it just wasn't
a well-written document.
No, it wasn't. Well, I'm not saying he wasn't doing anything that anybody else hasn't done before him.
It wasn't
But there was some
well
issues
either.
There about
it was
how you apply it, how you interpret it. Yeah.
Like, they let a shit poster, 31-year-old shit poster, author an executive order and said, Trump signed this. And then he goes, oh my God, I don't know. What's going on here?
Looks confusing.
All of a sudden,
sounds
women
good.
Are crying at airports.
He definitely jumped in too quick on it.
Well, yeah, he didn't. I don't think he thought it would have the impact. That's the thing, is I don't think they have yet a refined appreciation for just how powerful you can tie things up with legislation are.
Mm-hmm.
That grinds everything to a halt. That's why you have to have an army of attorneys all the time.
Right.
That's why Bill Clinton was bankrupt when he left the White House.
Right.
Like, they can literally tie you up with anything they want to do through lawsuits until your agenda is just like, to hell with it, I'm done.
Let's touch on Sally Yates. What happened with the woman named Sally Yates?
Sally Yates, she was Solicitor General for... That's the person tasked with representing the United States government before the Supreme Court. She, since the Department... the Attorney General had not been confirmed yet, Jeff Sessions... that responsibility for the direct for carrying out go, or for the like the constitutionality of her,
authorizing it
falls to her, you know, saying that this is illegal and constitutional. It's been vetted by the Attorney General's office. Well, it fell to her. She's an Obama appointee. She was filling in because obviously no one's been confirmed. She tells the Department of Justice, which she technically doesn't have, according to Alan Dershowitz, a legendary left attorney at Harvard, a legal professor, he said that she, you know, his belief is she doesn't have the authority to tell the Department of Justice to do that. So she blocked the executive order, and then it was sent to New York justice, I think, Ann Dulles or something like that. She issued an injunction, and the injunction found that the reason it was issued was because of the harm that people who were, after being approved and were already in air, since there was no window for implementation, that would be immediately deported, that puts them in harm's way and is in fact unconstitutional. So there's a stay was granted immediately. So that's why you had all these people stuck at the airport and all these immigration attorneys flooding it and getting out their laptops.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a great photo op, by the way.
That will
have no benefit to these individuals whatsoever, but great politics.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And then after that, four other federal justices have granted stays, and one was for a Muslim association, and that looks like it has the potential to go the highest through the court system. But at the end of the day, it wasn't about the ban. Any ban was unconstitutional. It was that because of the way it was done, it caused it. Yeah, it caused that. So then it was, she literally is representing the President of the United States.
And she told him not to enforce it.
Yeah. And not because... anything procedure, he didn't have authority because she disagreed with the policy, and that's where the constitutional crisis comes in.
Right.
And that's why he said she was in the wrong, she made an honest mistake not realizing she didn't have that authority, but she did the wrong thing and should apologize, and he got screwed. And he did the right thing by firing her.
No, I agree. I don't think he did anything wrong. Whether or not she agreed with it or disagreed with it, I mean...
That's not her job.
I agree. It's not her job. I mean, on a personal level, no, I don't have a problem with what she did. On a professional level, no, she was wrong.
None of that was even remotely on the top of her mind, you guys are thinking like lawyers. Let's think like politicians.
I can screw this guy and challenge his authority and create a shitstorm.
It's grandstanding.
And I can become,
it was all politics.
And I
it
can
was.
Become the liberal hero in the middle of this crisis, well, which she did.
Every and she'll go out and give speeches at every Northeastern she'll be running private
for,
school in America.
She'll be running for Congress. Thought, yeah.
She didn't think that she was going to get fired.
She wanted to be fired. It was purposeful.
Right. She was trying to make a name for herself.
And she did.
And well, you standing up. I don't... You don't want to get
well, she
fired,
will though. Probably lead a think tank for immigration after this for $450,000 a year.
Somebody find out what state Sally Yates is in.
New York.
New York. All right. Yeah. So if we have any listeners in New York, I want you to go to the... probably the Secretary of State.
I want you to see if she has a fence around her house and knock it down with a hammer.
No. See, check with the election board.
Try to forcefully enter and say, what do you mean? Why are you trying to have me removed?
Check with the state election board and find out if she has set up a political PAC yet. Guarantee she has.
Yeah, I mean, she was going to have any job. You're the Solicitor General of the United States. If you want to enter private practice, you're entering at $1 million in immediate partnership.
Since Trump is playing like 5D chess, do you think he pushed this through just so she would come
through? I thought it was 8D chess.
Well,
multi-universe. Yeah, intergalactic multi-universe chess. You don't want to understand. You have to understand multiverse theory.
I think
theory.
He just signed it. That way she would stand up, and then he'd be like, oh, yeah, nope. I need sessions
I didn't think that she... I honestly think perfect. About it. You're no, doing him a no favor idea. During a transition because the Democrats haven't confirmed Sessions, the attorney general who would sign off on it.
Yeah.
Honestly, if a Republicans had done this to Democrats, it would be a tar and feathering not seen since absolutely. Tories stood up for people in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be so bad, especially if they had done it to a Barack Obama. They would not. They'd be obstructionist racist that want to implement Jim Crow. Somehow it'd be about Jim Crow.
No, you're right. There's a double standard
and,
there.
Yeah, but. And so I think he really just never expected it. And I think a lot of it is they just don't quite have institutional knowledge yet.
They don't. They don't know what the ripple effects are going to be as far as...
They don't know where the landmines are. They're just going to stumble their way through it and then get it figured out and rely on his ability to bully to keep the heat off.
Or just go to Twitter and be like...
they're wrong. Wrong.
Wrong. Fake news.
I think he thinks that no matter what he's going to do, he's going to get this crazy pushback.
Right. The press is going to be negative regardless.
Yeah.
He already set up for that. He set up for that months ago.
But it's kind of productive at this point, though.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they can tell the truth now, and it's like, oh, that's... I don't even believe it.
Right.
They shot themselves in the foot with the fake news.
Steve Forbes got hired by CNN. Talk about like changing the media.
But then to say today, Milo Yiannopoulos was called an extremist and a white supremacist. And I was at the gym and I was looking at
promoting
CNN today,
speech.
And that Berkeley, Steve Bannon is a white supremacist. It's like the dude has never talked about white supremacy.
They're avowed nationalists. Right. They believe that every policy should be to the benefit of the people in the country. You know. It should, on its face, should look that
not
way.
Not even Milo. He's fucking
crazy.
He's just incendiary. He's a flaw. He's
right. British.
So final word on this topic.
Well, what about the protests?
That's what I'm
going
to say.
They were welcoming people on temporary travel visas that were going back anyway.
Right. So here's what I want to say about the protests.
But they were banned from entering.
Some ESPN girl, last name Steele.
Yes, Sage Steele.
Sage Steele.
Couldn't fly to the Super Bowl.
She missed her flight on the Super Bowl and was inconvenienced, and she got on Instagram and was talking about how she was inconvenienced. And so a young liberal on my page said, well, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King talked about how during protests, you have to inconvenience people because then they wake up and they do their civic duty and rise to the occasion. And I said, young man, that was 1960 fucking three, okay? And today people consider their civic duty getting on social media and bitching.
Well, liking a page and sharing a status.
And liking and chatting. So when you interrupt people's flow, they just...
That's a me problem now, kid.
They wash their hands of you, they get on Twitter, they bitch about you, and they move on with their day, and they don't contact their representative.
Oh, no, now they're actively against whatever cause you are promoting.
Yeah, no shit.
Right.
Like, that's what happened with the polling. Did you look?
Yeah.
The majority are for the ban now.
Right.
Yeah.
And that number was at 40, like, one-ish, two-ish, and now
all of
a sudden...
They shoot themselves in the foot by going out.
I missed my connecting flight.
When do people start wearing ski masks?
And you're going to shut up because you might be in camp with them.
One at a time, Tad.
No, but I mean, that's what's going on.
I'm just asking questions.
I know, but do it when he's done talking. Wait for the...
I thought he was.
I know.
You're fine.
I can't hear anything. Your refrigerator is loud.
So many noises.
I can't. It's so bright in here. Can you shut that light off my contacts?
Is the toilet running?
The Alex Jones put you on full woke.
He is so woke right now.
Oh, it's that and the super the paranoia vitality that's flown through this.
Spangles pheromones.
Yeah, it's a pheromone. I'm getting high. Just
we're cat pheromone free now. Things are nice. Things are peaceful around here.
What did you think of the night of the response? Because we had friends that went and protested at the airport.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah, that was is grandstanding. That's
you
all it
you
was.
You it, the left since we were kids and since the 60s happened. People in our generation on the left desperately want to be a part of the 60s revolution and protest like it's Kent State. And that those days don't exist anymore. And you're not making a difference. You're just making yourself feel better.
It's not about protesting the cause. It's about protest. It's about grandstanding for yourself. It's literally look at me. I'm on Instagram or Snapchat. Yeah. I'm out here.
Here's me
I
South
love
Dakota.
Women, and I'm not standing for Trump's bullshit or whatever.
Right.
And it's just going to go and say you, because people are bored and they have nothing to do, I guess.
A lot of them want careers, though. That's the thing that's getting me, is that it is, like the guy that did Black Lives Matter at Missouri, his dad was a vice president for a train company, was it?
He made $6 million a year.
Right, and then he lived in his mansion and went to school in the summers, and then he was talking about being down for the struggle, but he really wanted to turn it into a not-for-profit or an organization, create a job.
Everyone's pushing
where he
Twitter.
Could avoid having to worry about expenses.
That's a big thing.
Race-for-profit crowd?
Well, no, I mean, you know, creating YouTube channels. I mean, they're finding ways to make money off of it, too, and self-promoting YouTube channels and Twitter and Instagram and everything else.
It's podcasts.
Podcasts, I know, right?
It's called virtue signaling, okay?
So that's a term that I keep seeing pop up everywhere.
Let me read the definition, too, because I looked it up after Whitney Davis, the former prom queen of Liberty, wrote a status.
Creighton Harrington's ex.
Yeah, and here's the definition of virtue signaling. The action of practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's moral position on a particular issue. And so, again, it's the left is right. They're sticking up for the moral cause.
Look at what a good human I am.
And they're showing their friends how great they are. And they just, to me, look ridiculous. And but
to the uninformed who isn't sure what the principles or how you should go about deciding who's right, it's just pure feels.
You're gonna call CNN. You're gonna call Milo Yiannopoulos an extremist and a person of violent hate speech, while the people that oppose him are lighting Berkeley on fire and have to have rubber bullets shot at them because they're so violent. Like, it doesn't make sense. People on the left, and I don't think that it's certainly not, if you're just a listener and you're a Democrat and you're on the left, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the extreme positions, okay?
So I don't want the fascist left, the totalitarian left.
Right. The people who, what was the French book that was written darn near 8 years ago at this point? And it was basically a French anarchist manifesto that talked about the coming society, and then Glenn Beck got a hold of it and he blew it up, and it was like this big deal. I forget what it was, but it was basically about...
It was like an underground book, right? That was passed around online?
Online, and it was printed, and I had a copy.
A lot of the Occupy movement came out of it.
Yeah, and so it's these people who just want to...
They're provocateurs.
Right. They shave the sides of their head, and then they show up.
Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... Are you mocking my Wi-Fi?
I voted for Trump, so no one has suspected me of terrorism ever.
Okay, good.
Just racism.
All right, so let's move on to the next. We've got two more, unless we're...
Yeah, and the other ones aren't huge. Like, they're not as provocative. That's the big one, because the outrage to me was just like, these people don't even... They didn't read the injunction.
They didn't read it.
They're welcoming people.
No, they have no idea.
They thought it was a Muslim ban. Like, they're welcoming people. They were welcoming people. They thought they were refugees. They were travelers. They welcomed the United States. I was going back anyway. I'm just going back faster.
I got a house right down the road. Yeah. Right.
The best part are when people interview them and like, so why are you out here? And they're like, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah. He's a white
Trump's
male. Hey. And then they're like, how old are you? And they're like, I'm 12 years old. And like, what the hell are you doing out here? I don't stand up for the KKK. Yeah. And that's another thing. As far as getting the word out now, it's not because they don't really, no one watches the news or anything. Everybody's always on Twitter and everyone's a billboard for themselves.
Right.
You got to think of how many people you send out a Facebook message, you send out a tweet. Okay, that hits, 300, 400 people see it. But you got 500 people that go out and they're all tweeting fuck Trump. I mean, that spreads exponentially.
Yeah.
So these people are actually billboards for causes, but it's all an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it turned into like pressure to get on Facebook. Like, so like my normal, yeah. like my non-political friends were all like, then it turned into, I need to share this too. Like there was a,
oh no, the last week has been ridiculous. I either identified everybody that really just hates Republicans, or I actually found people that I'm pretty sure are racist.
It's like, none of it's based
like they
in
actually
reality.
Said, oh, this is a Muslim ban, and I fully support it. And they went on and on and on about how we need to ban Muslims. I'm
did
like, well, okay,
did
time
he,
out.
Did he try to get the Senate nomination in the LP?
No, I mean, the couple of posts I had, that was part of it, was it was like...
Oh, you
it
were
was,
attacking racists. I thought you were attacking me.
Well, no. That's what it was. Like, it was either people that were just straight up like, yeah... Fuck Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of kick that. Them out of here, build the wall.
Well, that's the thing, is they're getting close to those people.
Or it was just people that was like, well, it's a Republican, and it's a white male Republican, I hate him.
Yeah.
And that's literally what politics is.
There's
right
no
now.
Room for nuance at all.
No, there's not.
It's
I mean,
one
the people
side
protesting
the
did yeah. not read the stay.
Yeah.
They're welcoming who they think are Syrian yeah. refugees from war, from Aleppo, and they're saying, you're welcome. And they're like, what? We're Chinese.
We're
going back. Yeah. We're here to see cousins.
Yeah.
We want to see Disneyland. We'll go to Euro Disney.
Right. I mean, it is, again, it's virtue signaling. It is
social
pressure.
But it is obscene now.
It
is. Wildwood Market in Fountain Square, like the most trendy hipster, you know, or a clean eating, non-GMO market. If you buy your groceries there Saturday, I forget what the deal is, but they're giving the majority of it to feed people stuck. In this limbo, or to send it to countries that are
right.
suffering under the ban.
And you want
to
drive those people crazy? Just ask them if they've read the actual executive order.
No, exactly. I don't know who has. Like on both sides.
Exactly.
Is it the people
right.
are like,
Trump didn't. He just signed
like,
it.
Oh my God, he hates Muslims. Or then the other people are like, yeah, this is a great ban for Muslims and 9/11. I'm like, have you read it?
I'm waiting on Jimmy Kimmel to go out and do a politics version where he's like, did you hear Trump just signed
yes.
where he's going to gas all the Jews? And they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe that. You know?
Well, see, here's where
one side or the other.
Here's where I feel like we serve an important role. And I have, I'm connected and I follow like 7,000 people on Facebook. So I see a ton of data kind of come through. I see what a bunch of pages, I like 7,000 or 8,000 pages. My account's ridiculous.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's
That's
insane.
Why he had to have a separate one just for his Facebook. Yeah,
just for my family.
I've been hiding shit like crazy. It's
and
ridiculous.
So I see a ton of stuff, and there is a vast, vast middle of this country that has no voice and is just frustrated and tired of both sides. And it's why I think there's going to be a huge exodus from social media by the end of the year, because both sides, and especially because we're younger and we're millennials, our left friends are all trying to drag us to their point of view and bullying us to believe what they believe, or else we're all racist and bigots. Like, there's going to be people are just going to
get the most indirect bullying, passive aggressive bullying I've ever seen.
We're just going to quit social media. And I'm a power user. Okay, I just listed my stats. I love it. It's my job. It's how I earn my living, is mastering and managing social media for businesses. Like, I'm sick of it. It wears me out, and I'm tuning it out. I'm deleting it off my phone.
Well, it's only politics now, and these are people that were never political.
Well, and that's right. why I removed Twitter off my phone. Facebook, I mean, I still use to an extent personally. I still manage. I got to talk to Brett about this. I still manage the Marion County Libertarian Party Facebook page.
Oh.
I don't know how I got stuck in it. Yeah, you want it?
Yeah.
I got stuck in it. So I still try and do stuff like 3, 4, 5 times a day, you know, or whatever, yeah. schedule posts and all that stuff. So I still get on there. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's like I get to the point now where I'm literally just like, I got to skim past it. I'm hiding.
It's outrage or people that don't know what they're talking about,
yeah.
pretending to be authorities because it hurts their feels. Yeah.
We're also at the perfect storm of the apex of the social media right now. I mean, we never had this much. I mean, Obama, you could say, started, you know, hope and change.
No, I mean,
and it kept growing.
Doesn't talk to press. He puts his weekly address on YouTube.
That's what I was getting to. He's blackballed CNN, said you are fake news, and he literally says, go check out Facebook. My personal Facebook is where I'm streaming.
For facts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My White House announcements from.
Yep.
This is... Literally, Donald Trump is the first, what do you want to call it, technological president that we will have. Everybody said Obama was. No, Trump is running his entire campaign through Twitter.
Instagram, Facebook.
Online.
He held all Clinton's exes
before
the second
debate. We're at the peak right now. We have no idea where...
That's what I was going to say. So in the short term, we know that it's a boom for social media, but what happens in the long run?
But
I
it's
mean,
also... right now, you're going to hear tons and tons of anti-Trump, but the thing is, whether or not these people in 4 years come out to the polls... If this stays up, who knows? Yeah. I mean, this shit changes by the day.
It does.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, there are general platforms that develop, and yes, everyone hates them because they suck, but they are always, it's like Windows. It's always the standard because it's
you're gonna
everything
have Facebook
integrates
forever.
With it. Mm-hmm. It's the Rolodex of the 21st century. You know, it just is. That is what Facebook is. But, so like, it won't go away per se, but once voters get used to direct access rather than getting, having it interpreted and, you know, framed and curated by analysts and reporters, that changes the game a lot. Now, it'll trend the other direction because they'll love the direct access, but they'll also kind of be like, you know, I don't know entirely of what to think. Mm-hmm. And so then it'll sort of tip back the way where I think you'll see a boutique industry that, you know, it is a platform that's based off of direct access, but then also, you know, it tells you what's important.
The future is going to be in
right now it's just a big stream of data.
The future in news is going to be expanding on what headlines is what, because right now we're in the headline generation. Nobody reads shit and nobody wants to know. The future is going to be in figuring out how to get
knowledge,
the information, the crucial information of what is actually being said into not 300 characters that people will actually learn. And more than likely, it will be in short videos or short audio explits or
well, like
whatever.
The news, getting your news in the 60s, like the heyday of journalism.
You have to sit
down
around
at the dinner table.
Time.
But it was around the dinner table, and it was almost more passive. Like, you were paying attention, you were listening to Walter Cronkite, but it wasn't like you had to do any effort other
it wasn't
than
an
just take it in. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of the difference between podcasting and then radio, is that radio, I listen passively, like have it on. Podcasting, I'm there to, you know, it's an active.
To learn
you have
something.
To go find it.
Yeah,
to learn
and
something.
It's effort. So you put in effort.
And podcasting is siloed, so it's something you're interested in. So
it's a search for knowledge selective.
I don't know anything about nutrition and fitness and weightlifting and all that stuff, so I'm researching it all by listening to podcasts on
a
that
deep
stuff.
Dive.
Right, exactly. And when you listen to, so I've been listening to The Fat Burning Man. Joe Rogan has this woman named Rhonda Patrick on who's amazing.
Dr.
Rhonda Patrick. She's great. What else do I really like? Joe Fugiero. And so like Revolution Radio, I think it is. And so I'm learning a bunch of stuff from these podcasts and it helps me, you know, and I won't be into that subject in 6 months and I'll be on to politics and I'll be listening to David Axelrod or I'll be on to comedy and I'll be listening to the Mike O'Meara show, for instance, you know, and podcasting allows you to do deep dives where we can sit and have a 3-hour conversation about the things that people
so
are talking about, that you understand it. And so, you know, it's people go, well, why do you do longer podcasts? It's because it's desperately needed. This long-form conversation about what's actually happening.
Like the bullet pointization of society is what's wrong.
You have to go all the way through a topic. Yeah. And that's the same way, even with this podcast. Like, I have to be sitting down at work, and I have to think, all right, I got something to work on. I'm going to be at my desk for the next 2 hours.
You need a block of time.
I'll pull it up. Yep. I'll pull it up on my phone. I'll plug my phone in on the charger. I'll put my headphones in. I'll set up my desk, and I'll listen to it while I'm working. You know,
can't do
but
that.
I have to go.
But it's active.
I have to go find it.
Like, that's the thing is, and that's what all news is, though, now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like where do you get a passive experience where it's easy to get a little bit of, you know, information, but it's from credible sources, but you don't have to ever actively search it out.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't.
There aren't just no mediums for that anymore. It gets either forced on you and you naturally hate it because of the connotations from the source.
I'm sorry.
Or you're, you know, taking an hour to vet things.
It's a false sense that we ever had an unbiased media and that didn't have to read other stuff. It's like, it's why National Review was started in the 50s is because things weren't unbiased and there wasn't a diversity of thought. We now have a lot of diversity of thought and you have to read reason.
People thought they wanted that until they realized how much work it takes.
Well, it's not that much work.
And what the truth actually was, because Hearst was publishing all the newspapers.
So let me give the closing thoughts on this, because all you've got to do is read the New York Times, the Washington Post, your hometown newspaper, and skim the headlines, okay? Then you go to Reason, and you listen to us, and maybe you listen to a couple other libertarian podcasts, you then go to Town Hall and the Daily Caller, you go to Think Progress and the Huffington Post, and you listen or read InfoWars, and you read, you know, that's, and you maybe go to Reddit and see what they're talking about. That's all you got
to
do.
But I mean, we just described something that's a flowchart.
But you have
right.
to. You
so
have
like
to,
that's, but it's not just but, click the remote, have my macaroni and cheese, and listen to the soothing voice.
But again,
of,
it's 15 minutes of work to read headlines, see what's up, and maybe do a deep dive on something that.
Until they've like learned it and done the routine, it right. seems like an enormous amount because they can't decide what's truthful in a news story or not.
Well, guess what? I fucking hated every minute of being at the gym today. I fucking hated having a kale shake for breakfast. I fucking hated having to eat 8 pounds of kale salad for dinner. I fucking hate it, but I'm an adult.
Right.
I don't like brushing my teeth with highly pepperminted toothpaste, but I do it.
No fluoride.
I don't like flossing my teeth. I do it. I hate paying bills. I do it. You're a fucking adult. Stop making excuses for why your life should be easy and actually do some work.
It's like, yeah, that's a tough thing though, because they feel like they should go ahead and vote because it's their civic duty anyway.
Right, but they don't want to fucking learn a thing.
That's the worst thing ever. We should have voting tests.
And I'm sick of it. Like
I said that.
I'm tired.
I've gotten called out by a lot of libertarians.
No, we should have tests
yeah.
because when you give it away, people don't value it.
Yes.
We should do what Abdul says, which is if you write the name of the person you're voting for and you misspell the name, that vote doesn't count. And if you don't know who you're voting for, you can't vote for them. I just I want for people to get from this podcast more than anything in the world is the sense that just stop being lazy, okay? It's just like you don't have a lot to do when it comes to keeping up on what's happening in the news. You know, you can with a well-curated Twitter list that you set up for an hour on a Sunday afternoon and follow 50 accounts or 10 accounts, you can get an accurate picture of the news that happened that day. Like, there's just not an excuse to be ill-informed. And there's not an excuse to enable other people to be ill-informed. You have more tools than ever before. If you're a Christian, there's more Bibles than there have ever been before. If you're fat, there's more diet programs than there ever have been before.
And that's the conundrum of American society,
and so
an obesity problem.
But we've gotten to a point where there's choice fatigue, and so we just say, fuck it. Well, that's not an acceptable way to live your life, and I'm not going to enable that in our listeners because they're great people. Executive order number two. Let's kind of blow through these because we've got some people to help. We've got lives to save, Greg.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you had that many questions.
Executive order on reducing regulation and controlling regulatory costs.
Great.
Requires agencies.
It's the two for one.
Right. Requires agencies to repeal two regulations for each new one they propose. Imposes a regulatory budget come fiscal 2018, which would limit the amount of new regulatory cost agencies can impose on individuals and businesses each year.
It caps it. Supposedly.
What constitutes a regulation, Greg?
They didn't define it, and that's why we don't know.
That's okay. That's where I was going to. Have you read this?
Yes. I don't know what it means.
That's my
I
issue.
Like its intent.
The title of it and the way it's presented, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. You know, that's great.
Then when they don't
get
define
into it,
regulation.
Like, what the fuck does this do?
They're not. But that's the thing is they're not going to know.
Yeah.
But the setting of the financial caps, the real benefit. Because then they can measure that regardless, and they can say, well, they didn't actually repeal anything, but we know this is the most that the regulation can affect private business.
Was the federal hiring freeze in this as well, or is that a separate?
That's the separate memorandum, isn't
it?
What agencies are covered by this policy?
There's the other problem. It's not entirely. Well, it's not one.
It's the military. One at a time, guys.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I say that the one you're going to know too, but I mean, I thought it was everyone except the military organizations are under this.
Yeah.
But then there are a couple where the status is to be determined.
Yeah, I thought it was just like
domestic.
I guess executive administration. Like,
yeah, anyone order. Under the EOMB. So you'd be EPA, the Department of the conservation, those types of organizations.
Yes.
What work is the 2-for-1 regulation requirement doing?
Supposedly, the majority of U.S. Law is actually interpretation of code from these agencies, and the agencies no human could ever read it, even as an accomplished speed reader entire life. So it's to limit Canada has the same thing, to limit the regulatory burden for private business and individuals, and because everything's in conflict with each other, so you can make a case on anything.
So you have a note on our prep sheet here. Cramming two different policies, regulatory budgeting and two for one, into the executive order does not make it twice as powerful. As writer Robert Van Bruggen has observed, an agency making $5 billion worth of new regulation doesn't have to repeal $10 billion worth. It just has to offset the $5 billion while cutting twice the number of regulations. It can enact five $1 billion rules and repeal 10 $500 million rules. So
he just didn't. This was done amateur hour. And that's because he is letting Bannon and Steve Miller play a little bit too much role for positions they're not ready for.
Yeah.
You need constitutional experts authoring your memorandums and your executive
orders. Not documentary filmmakers.
Well, I mean, basically conservative shit posters at Duke trying to create flame wars on campus. And then, you know, Bannon was a managing partner at Goldman Sachs.
I'm sure he's competent, but, yeah. You know. So
he went to Harvard Business School. Like, he didn't arrive here. Oh, my God. I was in the Navy and I hate Muslims. Can I lead your campaign?
I've got a spot for you.
How will costs be defined under the order?
We're still learning.
Okay. Does the president even have the legal power to mandate the number of regulations? The president's authority the president's authority to issue executive orders to mandate the process for issuing regulations is indisputable. But does he have the power to determine how many regulations may be issued consequent to law?
That'd be for Neil Groucho to figure out.
Exactly, because then you could say that that's presidential overreach, and then because you are using the executive office to limit the legislative, the people who actually fund the agency's ability. So but you're, you know, coming too far in.
So let's hop to the third one, and I will put our prep notes in the post.
Okay.
And anytime you do that, I will add this to the post, because not only will our audience benefit from it, but we will also gain SEO benefits.
That's really the script. Greg sent that to me and said, this is what you have to say.
And then you were like, you complained, and so I didn't send Act 2 and 3 because it's 10 pages long.
Yeah. It's very, very helpful. We're not reading a lot of the facts and details, but you're getting them.
Well, and that's the thing is you can hear just people's opinions on laws, but, you know, that's what we want to do. Help you understand why the law is the way it is. Give you the context that's not even being talked about, which makes America stupid.
Yeah, we need the meat and cheese.
So let's get on to the presidential memorandum, organization of the National Security Council and the Homeland Security Council.
This is the one where they said Steve Bannon's president.
This is real weird.
But it's not. It goes back to what it was before W.
Yeah,
Bush.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just goes back one administration.
What was the crazy part, is it just was a reversion back to pre-W. So Clinton.
Yeah.
He went to Clinton standard.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, did anything happen during George W. Bush's term?
No, nothing I'm aware of.
But that's why he's going away from it.
President Donald Trump on Saturday signed three new executive actions to reorganize the Security Council. He named Bannon to the council in a reorganization.
Onto the Principals Committee, which is sort of the Illuminati of the Skull and Bones Society.
That's
the
under scrutiny right now, too.
The Cloak and Dagger Society.
Reince Priebus is also on it, but
which is very
common.
It can be. Because Chief of Staff would be, but he plays a pretty strategic advisor role, too.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Director of National Intelligence, two of the most senior defense chiefs, will attend meetings only when discussions are related to their responsibilities and expertise. So he has a lot of trust in Michael Flynn, but he's removing him from the Security Council.
Well, they oversee such a large agency. That's why it used to be this way, is you didn't want them coming to the White House every day to sit in for a briefing when the intelligence hadn't changed.
Right.
They should know that already, shouldn't they?
Well, they're going to get it
on
anyway.
Their end? Yeah.
So removing Michael T. Flynn, though, is
from
that...
From the Principal Committee.
Okay, so what... Would that position have been there under the Clinton administration?
They were not. You didn't meet with the daily team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going from a daily to a
weekly
briefing.
I was thinking he would have been. Yeah.
Okay. Or you're still getting the briefing. You're just not in the war room discussing this.
Right. Okay.
With the president.
Yep.
Bannon. He imposes a 5-year ban on lobbying for administration appointees and a lifetime ban on lobbying the government for other countries. These are other...
Well, like that includes Israel. So Israel can have an Israel lobby like they used to in Saudi Arabia.
They'll find a way.
I jumped ahead. This was another directive, but the 5-year ban couldn't like that more in theory. Yeah. We'll have to see how that's implemented and if it works.
What if you get elected?
Evan Bayh, who ran for Senate, he wasn't a lobbyist. He just worked at a lobbying law firm as a partner. And so he wasn't a lobbyist.
He was a consultant.
He was a consultant.
There's a lot of legal ways around all
basically,
of
he got paid $750,000 a year to do introductions.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Trump has ordered so far the Department of Defense to come up with a plan within 30 days to defeat ISIS.
Yeah. What a new strategy that he wants to abandon the existing with the new leadership. Let them formulate.
That was a big one with me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'll be interested to see where that goes. And I think that falls on Mattis, correct?
Yeah, because I mean, what he's actually saying is that we're going to go away from taking the lead in Middle Eastern affairs and develop a new strategy where we work with Russia and sharing of intelligence and let them play the principal role.
Yeah, if you go back to the previous administration, the Obama administration, they listened to everything that the generals said on the ground, but as far as when it came to
decision making, the principles committee,
Obama acted as he knew better and what was for Syria and even Iraq.
He listened to everything, and they waited for him to say, this is what we're going to do.
And right. he pretty much just kind of wanted to wait it out. He didn't want to get into any conflicts.
Well, that's because that's how he got the reputation for inclusion.
Tied their hands.
He listened to everybody. He sat through every meeting, would hear every opinion. Then he did exactly what Hillary Clinton told him to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just like the bin Laden raid. Biden was against it. Hillary was for it. He got lucky that it worked.
Yep.
You know, but this is a different...
Gates was against it, too, originally, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, what happened is actually what happened to Trump in Yemen. Mm-hmm. Where we killed an American girl, 8-year-old of the brother of the guy that we killed, Anwar al-Awlaki's sister.
Yep. The 8-year-old, yeah.
So we killed an 8-year-old on in Yemen, an operation, and it failed. That's JSOC operations.
Well, how bad did it fail? They actually did what they were trying to do, right?
Well, they killed. Yeah, so they killed 45 known. Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
SEAL was killed and a few were injured.
Yeah, one SEAL was killed and then 16 civilians.
But they actually reached their objective, right?
Well, that's not... how dare you? You're part of the problem.
No. I'm just saying.
Are you telling me you support Donald Trump? No.
Well, okay, so coming back to that.
I read...
What's his name? Sean King? Yeah. Today, about what a fuck-up Donald Trump is because of this.
The Rachel Dolezal.
This was actually a plan that was put together by Obama. He punted it.
Yeah, he didn't have the guts.
He punted it, and Trump said, well, you know, all the intel was, you know, and they're saying, well, the intel was screwed up, and this is the Trump.
And it is.
All he did was take what was punted to him and said, okay, we're going to go ahead and do it.
It seems like a good thing to do.
Yeah. It's okay,
so the objective
was
a success.
Let's go do it.
The objective was a success. The politics of the objective were a failure.
Yeah.
Like Anwar al-Awlaki strike.
It's kind of like this is an argument I've heard a lot about the EO on... You know, the refugee ban or whatever that's just the list that Obama put together.
It is. He goes back to Obama's pre-Syrian civil war.
But I also have to think that the new administration would do their own work.
It's people under the administration.
When Donald Trump Jr. approached John Boehner about being vice president, he told him he could have entire control of domestic legislation.
And
priorities.
Donald Trump is in
and he said, what is Donald Trump going to do? And he said he's in charge of making America great again to John Kasich.
How dare
that's you? When he ran and stayed in the race.
All right. So.
And he's doing it.
Time out. Did you quote Talcum X?
Talcum X. Oh, my God. Shocking.
No. Okay. I'm just, that's funny. But that's a talking point. That's a talking point where they come out and say, you know, this is a perfect example of Trump's inexperience, and this is what he does with foreign policy. And it was literally a plan that was put together by the Obama administration. He just punted it to him.
Yeah.
And he said, let's go.
Well, they were going to use it if it had been successful.
I have plenty of issues with Donald Trump. But the point is that was something that was put together, and he literally saw, I guess, the issues with it and punted it.
Well, yeah, it was like Obama's use of, you know, letting the Treasury recapitalize the banks with no oversight whatsoever in the middle of a financial crisis. That was a plan put together, but like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You are brand new. You don't want to, you know, if Trump doesn't do it, they were looking for something to position themselves well on. So he went with it. It was a success, but they killed an American agent.
And the same way. So the first couple of years of the Obama administration, that was a lot of things that Bush punted that he took.
Did you come up with Talcum X right?
You know, that was actually good. You threw me for a minute.
I wish I could take credit for Talcum X.
Sean King is a white guy who pretends to be a black guy and is outraged on black issues on Facebook.
He's the civil libertarian of New York Times and the culture writer for Black Lives Matter.
A fellow Annan on 4chan coined
Post
the term Talcum X.
Where was that? Let me see if I
maybe
8chan.
All right,
he's down for the struggle and has his head in cornrows, even though he's Jewish and from the Upper East Side.
For that. So let's move on. At the end of every episode, or in the middle, who knows? We may do a whole episode of
you
these.
Okay?
I'm getting sleepy.
Gotcha.
Why am I irritable?
I feel like I wondered if that chat was devolving into chaos.
Oh no! There's nothing going on over here. I'm just getting ready for this segment, and I'm just getting sleepy because I'm normally in bed at 9 o'clock. It's not your fault.
You need a squirt.
Me too.
I do. I need some. Actually, you know what would help me, Tad? If you got me a bottle of water, if you could get me one of my blue waters out of the fridge, that'd be great. Right.
You got to do? You need to turn that thing back on. It was putting out high tea.
Yeah, I'm just thirsty.
That's his tea circulation.
That was my tea circulation, yes.
Whatever that was.
I didn't get a great night's sleep last night, and I woke up super early today. And if I, on podcast days, if I don't sleep into like...
Bottle?
Yeah, bring me the this one's good. Give me the colder one, please. Thank you. If I don't sleep until about 7, like today, I got up at 5:30. If I don't get that extra hour and a half on a Thursday on podcast night, I don't make it to 9 o'clock. So I get sleepy. And I went to the gym, so I'm all worn out. I shouldn't do that anymore. Listen, let me tell you something, okay?
Is that a smiley face loofah?
Yeah, it keeps all those women.
It's not a smiley face loofah. Okay, so let me get this is a Dear Leader's Advice section, all right? So what we want you to do is write into Dear Leader at editor@wearelibertarians.com. If you have a life problem, you have car problems, you have business problems.
Experts.
What it boils down to is that
Dad's an expert.
Greg and I are successful in every area of our life. We are experts in everything, and we want to give back to our people. You know, we make sure to take care of you guys. And so a lot of you just have life problems. You're a very troubled group of people. We see that in the Facebook group that we've got. And we want to help you. And it's such a pleasure to have an accomplished man like Chris Mayo and a true legend like Tad Western here advising people tonight. The creator of Tad's Tip. So my Tad's Tip for the day is listen, I don't go for the made for TV products very often, but I got one of those smiley scrubby face things from the Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best sponge I have ever used in my life. If you don't get yourself, in fact, why don't you grab those so Greg can take a photo of me with my smiley sponge. The Scrub Daddy. That's what it's called. The Scrub Daddy. You got to get one of these. It is the best. No more Scotch Brite pads for Dear Leader. It is Scrub Daddy from here on out. So this is my recommended product to all the people of We Are Libertarians from Dear Leader. I endorse the Scrub Daddy.
Look okay? Right at me.
Right? It is wonderful.
Look at you, Mark Cuban.
It is great. All right? This thing... You just have to try it. It's the best $3 you'll spend. It's basically like somebody took a pool noodle and sliced it like a cookie dough.
Oh, don't give it away.
Is it for dishes or for your...
It's for
dishes. Another one of those. Why didn't I think of that?
See,
I thought it was an exfoliator for your nether regions.
See, you put your fingers in the eyes and you can scrub it.
Yeah.
You can do spoons with the mouth. It's all non-stick.
Does it explicitly prohibit body use?
No, look, I can get
the ashy off.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Get an elbow.
Yep.
Hank put his wiener through the eye hole.
It's winter. It starts, you know.
Oh, God. I'm covered in scrub.
Oh, my
See?
God.
It's an exfoliator.
You are ashy as shit. Put some lotion on those bows.
All right. Our first letter to Dear Leader comes from Ben. And Ben writes,
Uncle Ben?
Dear Leader, my suggestion still is tied to politics, but something that you and Greg have not touched on yet in your podcast. I listen to a lot of libertarian media and think tank outlets, a.k.a. Reason, Cato, and all I hear from them is gnashing of teeth and shedding of tears in the same vein as the liberal media. Even though the tears might be for different reasons, why can't libertarians see any positive in the Trump administration? Is it because the majority of the mainstream libertarian media are to the left of the political spectrum? I would love to get yours and Greg's take on this question. Absolutely love the podcast. Your friend from next door in Grand Rapids, Ben. Ben is asking, why are libertarians so negative?
On Trump.
Greg, why don't you take this? What's your thoughts?
It's a command presence thing. Like, there's a lot of there's a strain of libertarianism that is more like Gary Johnson. He doesn't exhibit a lot of authoritarian alpha traditional qualities. He's much more mild-mannered. He doesn't he just doesn't have like a presence about him, you know, a very leadership presence. And that tends to relate to authoritarianism. And then also Donald Trump isn't a thinker. The libertarian movement is full of the most thoughtful people you will encounter and well-read, especially they are more principled than anyone I know, especially on political philosophy. And Donald Trump is the anti that. He is someone that really just shoots from the hip and goes, his policy doesn't really have any, just has general themes and is the antithesis to much of the libertarian movement and the party and the thought base.
Right.
My read on him was, you know, the reason I really thought was that if he wins, he's going to be limited on what he can actually do. And so the things he can do are going to be good for us. They're going to be pro-liberty, like, you know, pulling America out of wars, trying to, you know, knock it's he's nationalistic through isolationism. You know, Hillary Clinton would have provoked us probably into conflict with Russia, which is really a Cold War with China. And that was something I feared because we can't afford another war. Yeah. Who's that?
None of your business.
What's so, that say?
None of your business. I was just trying to distract you.
I mean, I can take this one if you want.
No, but I mean, no,
the liberal media.
No, I mean, I don't. I was actually a good friend of ours, Rodney.
CNN.
He said he's calling Trump a tyrannical fascist, and I didn't engage, and so I just thought, I don't know. You know, I don't find him that way. I find him to be someone that he is a transactional president who, luckily, we're given the way things are set up right now. If he pursues what he can as a quote-unquote Republican, we're going to come out ahead on this. Whereas if it's Hillary Clinton, we lose.
I think it's equal. I think, I mean, I can see his point. I think a lot of that's kind of, I guess, more highlighted by by social media. Libertarians were equally as critical of President Obama. I mean, if he did something right, we recognized it, but just the same. I mean, he was heavily criticized for his foreign policy, the drone wars, the drug war.
Once, though, it became acceptable and you weren't racist to criticize.
Right.
With Trump, it's trendy to criticize.
It is, yeah. So I think it probably looks more like libertarians are just against Trump, but I don't know if we just
against Trump.
Demonstrated here in the last
I've spent a year
hour of
against.
The show, but I mean, it's there. He's done some things right. I don't, you know, and I maybe on social media I appear like I hate Trump or whatever. He's done some things I agree with.
You were one of the moderates that would listen. Like, but most libertarians, it was an outright rejection because of his demeanor.
But I feel like they were the same way against Obama as well.
I think we're 2 weeks into this, and it's shouting and screaming.
Exhausted.
It's shouting and screaming.
Why do you think?
It's going to calm down.
Ted, let's hear from the rest of the council before I make my final edict.
What, as far as libertarians on Trump, why they're so hostile? I think it's the way he just came out of the gun, or came out right out of the barrel, shooting from the hip with these
guns a-blazing.
Tad Western style, you know, just shooting every men, women, and children.
To quote John McCain, Maverick.
He didn't think things through policy-wise as far as his executive order. And
he's
a lot
man
of good
of action.
People got caught up in the airports. We're 3 weeks into this. As far as the future holds, nobody knows. I mean, it's hot right now to jump on Trump, but as far as he hasn't done anything yet. I mean, in all honesty, he signed 9 executive orders, and that's it. I mean,
and we're finding out how little authority those have.
Yeah, they're not, that aren't that.
And
especially if you don't define what they do.
And if they're out, and if they're not going to stand up to the law, they're going to be challenged. I mean, as a libertarian leaning. I don't know.
Libertarian, constitutional, Republican, you know.
You kind of got to step back and let the law figure this out, and hopefully they'll figure it out, and it'll go in the right way.
All right, so dear leader's final edict on this particular question is that libertarians are negative assholes because libertarians are one of the few, if only, political groups left espousing negative rights for government. The majority of politicians over our history have stopped espousing negative rights, which is what the government cannot do.
Limiting
government power and they have now adopted what the government should do for you. And that includes Republicans no matter what they say. And so
it's Teddy Roosevelt progressive Republicanism right now.
Exactly. And so what a lot of Republicans believe is their version of pro-government. And so libertarians come across negative because they're trying to do the impossible, which is give people less stuff and try and claw some of that power back. And that's not the arc of history. The arc of history is always smash something to the ground, build it back up.
Yeah, revolution, consolidation. Right. Revolution, consolidation.
And so, government. Right. So that is why a lot of it is negative. We don't particularly take that approach because that just doesn't, like, when Rob Kendall was pro Secretary of State nominee or a Supreme Court nominee, I was like, yeah, but what else were you going to say? Like, my liberal friends were automatically against them. They did. It's just like this knee jerk doesn't do anybody any good, so we try to take it with the good and bad. Our next letter comes from Steve. Steve is a great dear friend of the program, dear friend of Liberty. His mother is a great libertarian figure, and he's also a Bob and Tom listener, which is why he writes. So this is a little crossover between my day job and this. Great. And this is gear nerd stuff, so you guys probably won't really have anything to say. I just want to answer this because I love the gear of podcasting.
Holsters?
Dear leader, I hope I have this message to you in time to get it answered. I am desperate to know what model Sony headphones are used in the Bob and Tom studios. I know this is totally inappropriate to ask on Wall, but I am truly desperate as my MDR V600s are over 20 years old and my MDR 900s aren't made anymore. I have some MDR 7506s, but they're nowhere near the same. Hope you can help out. Yeah, the ones that are used in the studio are the Sony MDR 7506s. They're large diaphragm Sony headphones that you wear over your head. And they're, man, you can hear a flea fart with those headphones. I'm just not a huge fan of those myself. Dear leader, when he does the broadcast, wears the stylish AKG K240 semi-open studio headphones. I like the AKGs. They're not as tight on your head. They're open, so they don't close. You gearheads will get that. Those are the ones that I prefer. If you want sound quality, you really need to look at Klipsch. Makes great headphones. Klipsch has some earbuds that are the best in the business. I love those things. As far as over-the-ear headphones, never buy Beats. Beats are the biggest waste of money. Bose headphones are way overpriced and have too much bass. So these AKGs do really well, but for my money, if I'm spending money on headphones, I go with those earbuds that I mentioned from Klipsch. The S6, I think, is what I used to have, but they have newer models. Yes, Tad Western.
Big Steve, Tad Western here. Thanks for your question. I just want to tell you, you don't need headphones. You need ear foam and just, you're a smart man. Listen to your own thoughts inside your head. You're doing great. But if you do need headphones, get on eBay and try to get the original iPod headphones that came
white
with
ones?
Those. Whatever race they were.
No, you could only get white. Remember? With the iPhone?
I don't know. But those were the greatest headphones ever made. They only made 800 of them. So you're going to pay a pretty penny, and you're probably gonna have to get an adapter for your aux cord, but thanks for calling in, Big Steve.
All right, so
Chris Spangle wears the headphones that Pinochet made all his helicopter pilots wear. Yeah.
Exactly right.
It's got the he's got the microphone.
Yeah, this was the most libertarian segment of this show. So
yeah, right. Absolutely. So you all like guns, and I like headphones. So if you want to donate anything to We Are Libertarians, you can go to WeAreLibertarians.com. And we have a wish list. Not much is left on it. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah,
about
no kidding. Thank you, guys.
Equipping us with a broadcast professional studio. You may notice that from time to time, the sound quality is different on the episode. It's because I'm just testing out the different mics, the different boards, different settings, and the different equipment that we have.
We'll get it dialed in.
Absolutely.
Oh, sounds great.
Our final question, many of you wrote in, but we're only going to do three. Our final question comes from our absolute favorite listener, and it is Christy. Love Christy. Uh-huh. She is the best. And Christy writes, "Dear leader, where can I find true love? Love, Christy." Now, this is a tough question, okay?
True love, not just love.
True love. So first, we must define true love.
Have authority on this.
I feel like I'm looking at him.
I think the three of us, Tad Western is beloved by all women.
I am.
The four
abduction.
Of us.
Abduction. We'll have that.
Are qualified to talk about this. I true love to me, I don't know that I believe in true love. I think that you have to learn what you like in a partner, and you have to like yourself first and foremost. And I think that you have to do a fair amount of introspection. And I think that so many people, because of their hormones when they're young, rush into the dating pool prematurely, and they don't take the time to be reflective. And then they just continue to compound the mistakes. I know that I made a lot of mistakes because of that. So I really ruined my 20s because I didn't stop and take the time to learn who I was. I was too busy trying to date and trying to find that next mate. And once I stopped and I really took an accounting of myself, and I went to therapy and I opened up some of the old wounds and realized that I was a raging codependent, and learned a lot about why I had these certain patterns in my life, and really started to appreciate who I was. Once I did those things, then I started to understand what I could provide to somebody else, what I needed in other people. I never thought that I was an intelligent person, nor did I think that I needed intelligence in my woman. And I do. I need that mental stimulation, for instance. And I didn't know that until I took the time to stop and really think about what I want and need. And I think that that is the first step to finding true love. You've got to love yourself first. And it's such a cliche saying that you can only love someone else as much as you love yourself. But it really is the truth. It's cliche until you actually are in a position to understand that that is true. So I think that is the first step to finding true love. You've got to learn to love yourself, and you've got to deal with the things that are helping you choose bad mates. If you are choosing bad people, it's because your picker is broken, and why are you choosing bad people? I know why I choose bad people. So I know the traits to avoid. There are women that I avoid now because I know that they're not good for me. There are women that I choose because I know they're bad for me. But at least I get to make the choice, and I'm not a slave to my patterns. I gave the edict, but I think I'll start the discussion. What do you guys think? How should one find true love? Let's ask the only married person.
Your high school sweetheart, too, right?
She's smoking.
No, actually, I didn't meet her until after high school. What I can say, Christy, is don't feel like you have to be with somebody. I mean, I know that, especially coming from a married person, that probably sounds funny. But I probably screwed up my late teens and early 20s obsessing over somebody, thinking that I had to be with that person. And it
was that your high school girlfriend?
No, that wasn't either. But I mean, I feel like a lot of good memories I had are tainted by the fact that, you know, she was
a huge bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. Every guy has that girl.
But no, I mean, honestly, take your time. I think the right person comes along, and just make sure you're happy. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it. With my wife Renee, so we met not long after I got out of high school, but we were friends for a long time. I mean, we didn't even know she was with somebody else. I was obsessing over somebody else, and we didn't even know that there was anything between us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a
and then
a few
he brought
years.
Out the meat hammer, and it did. Was
and
all
that
over.
Was it. Actually, all I did was pin her down and fart on her face, and that was it. Man.
Did you really?
Yeah, that was it right there.
That is,
dude. That is the right greatest there. Story. Yeah,
that is asserted dominance.
It's alpha.
Yeah, it is.
That is the most seductive. Yeah. You know what?
And that was it.
Wow.
She offered me a ring. And
you know why that worked? Because the flatulence is so there's your
did you
gut
fart raper.
I did.
Basically. I did. So your gut...
But it's okay because she was cool with it.
Your gut biome is an example of health. And our bodies, the whole point of being a human being is to reproduce. And so attraction is all about healthy.
Yeah.
Okay? Because
nailed it.
Your body is saying healthy, healthy, healthy. The scent of your fart is the airing out of your gut microbiome. And so you were eating well that day.
No, yeah, she knew.
And she
I was
could
eating
sense
eggs, bacon, cheeseburgers. She knew it.
The health
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
That you would be a good mate for her and would provide her with many offspring.
That's why Tad Western always eats a salad before he sits at Pervert Row on a strip club.
No, I mean, but I can't. I mean, even being married, I can't act like I guess I'm an expert on the issue. But I've made mistakes in my past, and I think the biggest thing is just make sure that you're happy. Don't obsess. Don't be upset that you're not with somebody or that you haven't found the perfect person. Just be happy and be patient. I guess take your time.
Yeah. You got to take care of yourself.
Don't rush anything. Yeah, take care of yourself and be make yourself happy.
Ted?
Ted Western here.
Ladies
Doctor,
man.
Love Dr. Ted Western.
Love Dr.
Ted Western. Man 69.
All the Wall listeners and watchers on the Wall Premium. That was a tip of the cap and a wink of the eye. Listen, if you've never been in lust, you can never be in love. So you cannot skip the being in lust part. You have to go out and you just have to find what you like and what you love. Well, you don't love it at this point. What you think you love. And you got to try it out. You got to test drive it. You got to drive it like a taxi cab and turn it back in. And if it comes back to you like a parrot that you let free in the Amazon.
I got it. Jungle. You're doing the bird analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
If you love something, you have to let it go.
Yeah, after you tie the note to its foot that says, free us.
I saw this on a Meyer canvas.
Is that where it was?
I think so. You know they have those trendy canvases?
It's all about lust. There's no such thing as love. I hate to break your heart. There's a reason 99% of marriages end in divorce. It's called death.
Another heartbroken by Tad Western.
Listen.
Greg, any thoughts on love?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's something you find. I don't think you can. It's an active process,
mm-hmm.
like a process of elimination until is love.
That's
you know what
Hitler
I mean?
Said.
You know, so in the meantime, like I think a lot of people say that you need to be okay being alone, and or you know what I mean. Like they just want companionship and to like not be in their head.
Absolutely,
they want the distraction.
So I made a conscious decision that 2017 was going to be my best year, and I was going to do things differently. So I had a period over Christmas break because I get like 20 days off at the end of the year.
That period.
It's great. I had my period. And so I'm always
girl came out of woman.
Super wound up that first week and Christmas and all that. That second week, I'm just like alone in my apartment with fires and depressed and fat.
I thought you were happy.
I was enjoying the time off and
the solitude
and the decompression, and I really, you know how I need that at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were just deep diving into that.
But I had like pizza every day that week, and I just felt like garbage. And I like there was one day where I was like, I just am not going to go to that party because I don't feel good.
The Wall Christmas party.
And I'm just sitting there going, I'm 33 and I don't feel good. And it's because my diet is bad. I don't move. I don't exercise. I'm not happy. You know, I'm not thinking. I'm not producing in my job the way that I need to be. I'm not producing on this podcast the way that I need to be. I'm not living life to its fullest. So I'm going to do things differently. And so I started focusing on exercise, eating right, making sure that I do the things to take care of myself, like get enough sleep, get some sunshine, you know, hang out with my friends and have good social relationships, go to therapy, doing the things that I know that I need to do to make myself happy, and reading a lot more, watching great documentaries, you know, really putting some time and thought into each one of these episodes. And I'll tell you what, in the 30 days since, I really committed to focusing on self-care. I haven't thought about dating. I don't want to date. Like, it's too much of a hassle. I asked someone out recently, and they, you know, it was a, I'm busy this weekend, but maybe we'll catch up later. So it didn't go as, but I just didn't care, you know, where me a year ago would have been obsessed with that because I was searching and I had to find somebody. It's like, and
well, yeah,
I just
it's active, man.
Right.
It's
like... And you're exactly right. So I think that once you're focused on what you need to do and you are focused on yourself, you're focused on succeeding in your goals, and then that part of your life becomes secondary. You know, when you're on dating sites and it's like, it can be a part-time job, man. When you're out there trying to rustle up some action.
In a constant state of trying to present the best form of yourself.
So exhausting. Like, if you're on dating sites or, you know, like, if you're Jeff Vibbert and you're 26 and you're ripped.
You're raw-dogging randoms on Tinder.
Is he really 26?
Allegedly.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. I don't have that gift, okay? I'm a personality choice. So, the online dating sites don't work for me, really.
Chloroform, does that work for you?
I'm not. That's projection, Tad.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, so
you just gaslighted the shit out of you.
Damn it.
Dear Cosby. Yeah,
projection bigger than a drive-in movie theater right there.
That's a good one.
Take my example. Once you really start to focus on improving your life and yourself, that part of finding something, that mate, you don't feel like a missing piece. You know, you're just a whole person who's living your life and enjoying the things that you have. And then at some point, somebody will come along. Like, I know at some point somebody's going to come along and we're going to date and we're going to have fun and it may or may not work out. And then when we break up, there'll be another one.
You know? I mean, I think you have to have a clear vision of what you're looking for. I think that's the problem a lot of people take, because they never put together, you know, what do I actually even like, rather than trying to become what other people like.
You have to visualize what you want.
Yeah, I sort of write down, have some ideas, you know, and then also, like, I don't know. I've always been the way that I think it's a lot of people. It's not that they necessarily they want companionship more than, like, you know, true love.
Yeah.
And it's that distraction from purpose. Yeah. And, like, I'm a weird person. Like, I don't find much enjoyment out of, like, day-to-day pleasantries. Like, so, like, the basics and the monotony of day-to-day life are something that even when I was a kid, like, I didn't get it, like, why people cared what other people were doing or gossip or...
Right.
I found individual lives kind of boring, but I found, like, other things more interesting. And so I think that a lot of it will come together for you once you have a clear idea of what you're looking for. And then also, you know, find purpose rather than someone to coast with, if that makes sense. Yep. Rather than, you know, true love being your goal, find a higher purpose that you can put yourself into, and then someone on that journey, you know, that's sort of the sign that this is quote unquote a ride or die chick or guy.
I was with someone for almost 7 years. They're a great person. I am friendly with them. I have taken their cat.
Actually, you took her husband's cat.
Oh, you cucked him. Meow.
But both of us can agree that
well set up.
Nothing is worse than being stuck with someone you settled with.
Yeah.
And the misery of being stuck with someone you settled with is not worth. It's so much better to be alone and happy by focusing on your purpose in life and building strong friendships that can help offset the need for companionship.
Distraction.
It's
like,
so much better. My life as a single person is so much better than as a married person. And there are times where I miss that companionship, those Friday nights where you're alone and you two are hanging out and you're watching TV and you're joking. Those are great moments, but it still is not worth the misery that is settling for somebody you don't want to be with, mm-hmm. or taking care of someone that you don't need to take care of. So, dear leaders, edict to you, my dear subject, Christy, is to be happy with yourself first and foremost. List out the things that you love about yourself. List out the ways that you need to take care of yourself and focus on your purpose in life. And once you do those things and you make yourself a whole person, the right person will come along and you won't be completed. You'll be two people who are enjoying separate parallel tracks.
And the best way to do that, or like one little trick, is write your eulogy.
Mm, that's a good
idea. What you want people to talk about you at your funeral. And that helps you sort of whittle down what's important to you.
Yeah. How
you want to be remembered.
You guys want to get dark?
Hang on.
Okay. Life is not a team sport.
Actually, it is.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It was Tad, so okay,
actually,
Chris.
Actually, honestly, we're social animals, and we need companionship and story as much
you
as we need
be,
food and water.
You may be, but you're weak.
I'm autistic. I'm maximum autism and woke.
So what was Chris
gonna
say?
I can just be on internet forums ever again.
You guys want to get real dark here? You want to go creating Maya?
It is Black History Month.
Yeah, creating Maya.
God damn it, Tad.
Wait, it's February.
He forgot. He's the racist.
I know. You didn't.
It's Dr. King fan, he says.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I celebrate Black History every day.
Okay? By what? Going to Sambo's?
Wow. I didn't think you could take it to a level of more.
Sorry.
I had that one chambered.
Well,
so that was either on cue or playing.
The hammer was back. Man,
right,
let's go.
No, I said sorry.
So,
Christy, anyway,
if you want to deal more of these kind of issues, we deal on Creating Maya, which is a podcast of the We Are Libertarians Network and one of the best podcasts I've ever done. So go check that out.
I wish we had these more because that's
what
I'm
trying to get.
All of philosophy is what is a good life, and then that's
exactly.
Political philosophy builds off that.
Exactly, it's all holistic, and that's what we're trying to do: heal you with our crystals. So. Creating Maya is a much more emotional show. The second season is really when you should start. But I was at a very low point at one point last year, and I wrote a suicide note. And you never really realize how much you want to live until you have decided that you're going to die, and you have to start listing out all of the things that you care about. And... that is a dark place, but man, it just
takes care of the rest.
It burst out of you, and you go, I will never have these thoughts again. It's not that I don't have those thoughts. It's just that you go, I'm never going to do that to these people and these things that I care about, and I am doing them a disservice by even entertaining these thoughts anymore. You know, you have them, and you bounce them right out. So, yeah. Eulogy might be better than a suicide note because.
Well, I mean, suicides. It depends on where you are. You know,
absolutely.
If you're looking for what would you consider a well-spent life being, a eulogy is the way to go. Like, how do you want to be remembered or for, legacy?
Well,
but for, you know, if you're looking for God, I'm so in the darkness. That's the better route.
What else to do but write a suicide note when you've bought a scrub daddy? All right, thank you. Let's end. Let's give a round of ovations for all. Thank you for writing. If you want to write, dear leader, and get some life advice from the Wall Crew, it is editor@WeAreLibertarians. We will tackle anything. Okay, we will handle anything.
We're millennials. We'll have uninformed opinions on whatever we decide.
Exactly right. Okay, so final thoughts for this episode, Tad motherfucking Hanging Chad
hey.
Western.
That was my nickname.
I know.
Oh, is that why you said that?
I was yes. That's
oh, you were talking to me. Final.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. What did we go over today? Anyway, I got a cruise ship, and we're gonna go take it out to the tropics. Anyway. Yeah.
Love your gloves.
All right.
Tad Talks comes out, and
yeah,
then get it on SoundCloud.
Tad Talks comes out
every Wednesday,
and I think my next guest. I've been keeping it secret, so I'm not going to spill the beans here.
I think I might know who it is. It's
really?
Very exciting.
Do you ever been on here? Do you pull names that big?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know. Anyway, Tad
Talks
is coming out.
I've met this person, so have you. He's hysterical.
Yeah.
I don't assume their gender. Anyway, Tad Talks, you can check it out on SoundCloud, the internet, Facebook, Black Planet, MySpace. Whatever social media you're into.
Greg.
Sambo's.
Hey.
That's
I covered
that. Black Planet.
No, I think we did a good job. I think Donald Trump deserves praise for picking the second most libertarian option in all of the United States for Supreme Court Justice.
Ron Paul was number one.
Or Napolitano. Yeah, I guess Ron's
number
one.
Three,
but Ron,
right?
Yeah, but Napolitano would have been my first pick. This is my number two, hands down.
Yeah.
Written really well done, well executed.
Let's face it. Napolitano is in his 60s,
yeah.
Almost 70. He clearly is probably going to have some COPD if he already doesn't. Like, this dude is young.
Yeah, no, he's going to be there a while.
He's going to have smooth
confirmation.
It's a good pick.
Because he's one of those Western healthy people.
This is a great pick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but he would be...
Western healthy people.
You know what I mean? Like those
medical
granola
weed,
liberals.
Not one of these fat white Midwesterners.
Yeah, like they're active.
Yeah.
They live in Boulder
the
and
higher,
bike.
The higher altitude. All right.
Yeah, but with granola, got it.
The only other thing, they've got to step their game up on this executive order stuff.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that is really amateur hour, and that can undermine you before you even know it.
They're trying
to
look busy.
Who's the dude that Bush had? You?
What?
What was his name?
Who?
The dude that wrote the whole...
John Yoo?
Yeah, John Yoo.
Who was on first?
That's what they need, yeah.
Well, they just need someone that, one is an attorney, not a finance, you know, a finance guy like Bannon and media guy, and then the other, Miller's just a shit poster. So they got to get someone in there, because Priebus is an attorney, but he didn't practice, you know,
right.
So
yep.
they got to have an expert, or mm-hmm. else you... lose all credibility, and there goes your agenda before you even try to pursue it.
And you have
it.
To realize every lawyer in the nation will be coming
oh,
after
gonna,
you.
Yeah, they're going to be scrutinizing. Yeah.
You have media and lawyers now on your feet. But, yeah, other than that, well done on the pick. Mail?
I got a big
Asian scrub daddy.
Wow. Is it yellow?
No, because when you drop it in the bathtub, it sounds...
That's racist, Todd.
No, I got a big 8 years in front of me because for the last 8 years, I've been a right winger, and I thought Republicans might be on our side.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now as a libertarian for the next 8 years, I got to be a liberal.
Yeah.
And I got to think maybe Democrats might be on our side.
Oh, no, that'll never happen.
No.
I mean, every now and then, you know, look at California.
Ask about cutting taxes.
Ooh, touche.
Yeah.
All right.
Black lives, say black lives, say all lives matters, all lives and then matter. See yeah, if there's a libertarian group.
Let's see what happens.
Was that a Southerner?
Was that a smiling Asian?
Wow.
An Asian with a cleft palate?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Spangle.
I'm tired.
Bath weighs the...
Spangler.
You are tired. You're right on the edge of collapse.
I'm done, yeah. Every 4 or 5 episodes, by the end, I'm done. I'm so worn out. Thank God these people get sleep.
You people.
It's always the ones I'm on.
Yeah. It's always a tad gas.
It's because I do 800 push-ups before you get here to raise my tee.
That's good.
It's hard to compete
I
with someone.
I can tell his pecs, man.
I know. Look at this.
Swollen.
Listen, once you start working out and lifting weights.
Bounce a quarter off him.
Like, I'm standing up straight. My posture's good. It's great.
Very alpha.
My wiener's getting bigger. It's been great.
That's the Superman.
Go, man. Go.
Yeah. I don't know why I said that. That's so stupid.
My wiener's getting bigger.
You know he's editing
that's like
that
listen
out.
To this. Yeah. All right.
You don't. That's not knowledge you want them to have.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode of We Are Libertarians. You all are wonderful people. Please go to WeAreLibertarians.com and see the many offerings that we have there. And please be sure to support us financially. You guys are all great. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we promise...
Chris's wiener will be bigger next time.
Microscopic.
You son of a bitch.